Showing is a Red Shovel Network production. The Red Shovel Network consists of The Drew Mack Show, Child of the Duff's No Bullshit News, Emma Elric's Soul of Detroit, and No Filter Sports and shit. Enjoy the following Red Shovel Network production, please.
Hey, what's poppin'? It's the weekend. Friday show from the DealsInTheD.com studios. The Drew and Mike Show, Skeleton Crew Edition with Mark and Brandon.
No idea what's going on.
I don't have much of an idea either. We're starting early today because Marshall Crenshaw was available. And Marshall being the Berkeley guy and cranking out...
Pretty cool guy.
Pretty good, pretty great music, I think. I love Marshall Crenshaw. I'm sure there's a lot of people going, I'm a fan of Marshall.
I'm just a kind of a big star.
You can never win.
Answering my own email is a big mistake.
Why don't you just hit delete?
I like knowing what
think. Read them. Just... But you said responding to them.
Well, no, it's reading them, really. The issue, because, you know, it used to be that someone else would read them first and kind of get an edited. Like, if you gave Mike Clark every email.
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, he did read a lot of email.
Unfortunately.
Yes. I mean, he would write a 5-page response to people.
I remember, like, I'd walk behind him and he's typing on it. Not the world's fastest typer, believe it or not. And
should have been.
A lot of hunting and pecking. So I'd walk behind him maybe at, like, 5:30, and of course the show's not 5:30. He wasn't there at 5:30. Like 6:15, and you know, so the show's going on. You walk by like 7:30, and there's maybe 2 paragraphs done, 2 whole paragraphs.
Oh,
which Benny was focusing on the show.
Yes, he was. He felt That's misunderstood great. At times. Clearly. Joey's in the house.
Oh boy.
That was not for Joey. Marshall Crenshaw coming up in about 15 minutes, and he is playing the Magic Bag with the Smithereens.
Yeah.
Which is, it's really a cool story. Those guys were close, both musically and as friends, and Pat passed away last year at the age of 62, I believe. Pat DiNizio sounds like a great, great guy, just the more I read about him, and I love their music, too, so this is a nice combination. It's kind of funny, I was thinking about this. Putting people that you really like, God, this band would be so cool if this guy was in it. Or, you know, if you know, when David Lee Roth is going, well, who is the best guy to put in Van Halen? Well, they found a good guy. But, yeah. I mean, you know, it's just interesting, especially when people die unexpectedly or something.
Yeah, so many times it doesn't work. Although Queen with Lambert, I'm shocked at how well that worked. Maybe because he was from American Idol.
Well, he can sing, too.
Or when Paul Rogers was with them.
Yeah, that worked.
The Black Crowes with Zeppelin.
Oh, God, that was cool. That was great. Really underrated, I think.
I was talking to ML because he played a song for his new wave throwback, Room 7609.
Uh-huh.
And the guitar, I'm trying to remember. My God, I just listened to it and I can't remember what the song was now. Oh, it was a Brian Ferry song, a solo song. And on the,
I don't remember.
On the guitar was Johnny Marr.
Oh.
And I said, how come new wave in that era... Everybody crosses over with each other more than I think any other era.
Well,
because I particularly think about my music in the early 90s. There wasn't much like crossover outside of Temple of the Dog, which was a super group.
Well, you have to look at the, I mean, New Wave's been around a long time, so it's been a long time for people of bands to break up and new combinations to form.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe the bands broke up a lot.
I think that's probably true. I mean, there aren't many bands from that period that really lasted. I mean,
it's kind of weird. It made me think of, you know.
It was a cool period. I really liked that period of music, the punk new wave thing. And it was new. People were like, oh, my God, I'm so sick of the Beatles. I'm so sick of Pink Floyd. I'm so sick of Rolling Stones. And you got this young, you know, these people who are younger coming up who want to play music. And it's time to shake it up a little bit.
And then what killed that? The hair metal?
Yes, it did, I guess.
It got killed by grunge, which...
But, you know, new wave and punk never really got airplay.
Yeah.
They never really got their due. I didn't think, except for the Cars.
Journey wouldn't let them. Journey took all the airtime.
It's funny to me how I can look at a deck and go, oh my God, the 70s sucks. Because you go, the Eagles, the Doobie Brothers, the bands that really sold records. And then you go, oh my God, the 70s. I mean, look at all the great stuff in the 70s. I mean, the first Sabbath, Stones and records Zeppelin, and Sabbath and Zeppelin. And And I can do the same thing with the 80s.
Yeah.
When you look at
Journey and Rat.
Laura Branigan. Some awful things happening.
I just want to see a chart from today. What do you want to do? Like 85, 84? I'm going to pick a year.
I'd say more like, let's see, to make it really shitty, you got to get the Gloria Estefans and Mariah Carey's in there.
Okay, so late 80s. You want to do 89?
I'd say 88.
Okay.
Taylor Dane. Donny Osmond's comeback.
Taylor Dane.
I mean, you look at like the top 10 from some weeks in 88.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever gone back on Billboard and looked at the...
Oh, I love doing
that. It's really addictive.
It is. No, it's a lot of fun. It's like going to Baseball Reference for me.
Yeah.
Join the finest happy hour in Royal Oak at Mesa Tacos and Tequila. I was there last night. And in fact, I ate fajitas again. Boy, those are great. Mesa Happy Hour runs Monday through Friday, 3 to 6. And if you're thirsty, of course, the $4 fresh squeezed traditional margaritas, $3 house wines, $2 well drinks, $1 rotating draft beers, and then the cheese nachos, the quesadillas, the $2 taco.
Come on, Dan, put my beef in your taco.
Sensational service, great menu, and the burger, the hamburger is fantastic there. I urge people to try the Maz Burger. Mesa is on Main Street between 3rd and 4th in Royal Oak. And I'll also
mention. What's the matter, honey? A little extra cheese on the taco.
I'll also mention the weekend best of is brought to you by Scott Kunith. And Scott wants us to play his jingle tomorrow.
Okay.
He requested it.
Definitely.
Call Scott if you want to list your home, or you want to find a new one, or you want to know what your home is worth, or you just have a dumb question about egress or something like that. Or you just want
to... like the question, what is an egress?
Or if you need someone to talk to, call Scott Kunith. 248-797-7746. That's 248-797-7746. S. Kunath, S-K-U-N-N-A-T-H at CBWM. He's the rising star of Coldwell Banker Weir Manual.
And stupid question.
His phone is ringing. So, all good.
I went to the Billboard album chart for August 6th, 88.
Oh, boy.
I kind of dug it. So I went to that. I had to go to the singles to really get some hate going.
Oh, yeah. You got to go to the singles charts.
Because the Billboard top 10 is, well, the Dirty Dancing soundtrack. Who doesn't love that? But then you have Open Up and Say Ah, Poison.
Boy, there's a lot of great soundtracks in the 80s. Mm-hmm. I mean, some are really good.
Puts Baby in a Corner.
There's a lot of very successful soundtracks. I shouldn't say good.
This is funny. Actually, number 10 is More Dirty Dancing soundtrack.
Yeah, boy.
9 is Open Up and Say Ah, Poison, which I like that album. 8 is He's the DJ, I'm the Rapper, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Faith, George Michael, OU812, Van Halen, which is a good album.
Yeah.
Dirty Dancing, the soundtrack, was 5th. Tracy Chapman, Steve Winwood, Def Leppard, Hysteria, and then Appetite for Destruction.
What's the, is Winwood, that's not Higher Love, is
it? Roll with it.
Oh, Roll With It.
You need to roll. And that was the number one song, Roll With It.
Okay. Hang on, I got to run upstairs.
What'd you do?
I forgot something.
The show's... Is this, Brandon, safe to say, the most unprepared show we've done?
Maybe. We finished No Filter about 8 minutes ago. So.
And I'm still editing ML from last night.
Yeah. Oh, well.
There'll eventually 3 shows from the network will drop today. Actually, 3 shows will drop.
Yeah, all within a few hours. So,
do you want to hear the top 10?
These are in disarray. Has anybody's check? Have you guys cashed your checks?
I did.
Anybody's bounce? Or no, would you know?
I can check.
Okay.
Is that? I didn't know that was a possibility.
It's a little iffy. Just a little. I think it's okay. I think we're okay. But it happened once.
I love the uncertainty.
I know.
Just stay good at what you're doing, which is, I guess, being poor.
We are a tightrope act again.
Yeah. For August?
We might be okay in August, but yeah, the last 3 months. Been a few unfortunate developments. Yeah. Cost.
There's one we can't talk about yet.
Mine went through.
Okay. Cool.
Oh, great. So now it's mine?
Yep, at least mine did.
Shit.
A lot of excitement in this room. I think it's, doesn't it create a little adrenaline, though?
Yeah, not being able to
Pay
the mortgage.
No, I think we're okay. Just asking. What's the top 10?
I guess it hasn't bounced yet, but it all isn't available. I'm sorry. Okay, top 10.
It'll be okay.
Actually, number 16 is The Twist by the Fat Boys. Do you remember that rap song?
I don't.
10 is Monkey, George Michael, Pour Some Sugar on Me, Def Leppard. I Don't Want to Live Without Your Love, Chicago.
Oh, God. Peter Cetera.
Of course.
Gross.
I Don't Want to Go On With You Like That, Elton.
That's a great song. And that was a comeback for him.
And this is funny.
That's like, that might be the last cool new hit he had.
What?
Elton John.
What
yeah.
about all the Lion King
Sorry.
Songs?
Sorry. I love Elton. What's this? Oh, is this Chicago? I smell song. Peter Cetera.
What a soft, soft song. Thought it wouldn't
matter. I'd rather hear You're the Inspiration. Oh, which is awful.
I can't believe people liked this.
I know.
What if you were a Chicago?
I've been doing such a big deep dive on Chicago lately. I don't know why, but there's 50% of the songs I love. The ones that are high tempo with the horns, I love
those.
Yeah,
the non Cetera ones.
Everything with Peter
Make Me
Cetera
Smile
sucks.
Have you heard Make Me Smile?
Yes.
Oh my God. First of all, he has a great voice. Terry Kath is a great player, great voice. He jammed his ass off, too. They were a hell of a live band.
Where is
their documentary is really funny because the horn players got kind of left behind by Peter Cetera, but they're still in the band for the live shows to play the old stuff. They seem so bummed. Like, oh my God, this soft, soft person took over our band.
Is there a faction of Chicago fans that are livid because they were duped? I mean, they dug this band in the 70s and then they just got
there has to be.
Soft.
I think so.
Cetera totally bailed on him. And when I mean bailed, he's never even come back to do any kind of reunion. He wouldn't play with him at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He doesn't want. He wouldn't be inducted in the Songwriters Hall of Fame because they wanted to induct Chicago. And he goes, "But what about me? It should just be me."
No, he's just too soft for all of it.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a horny intro, but this guy's got a badass voice. Is he some kind of black?
They don't know. Funky,
definitely baritone. I'm alone in the dark. He is so good at guitar. He was Jimi Hendrix's favorite guitar player.
Bloop. Was he really? Bloop. Is that for real? I'm not giving that a bloop. Play the hook. We'll get to the hook. I'm so happy. Oh, I even like some of their poppy songs from this period, like Saturday in the Park.
Brandon, why'd you do a deep dive on Chicago? Like, what's the story behind that?
It was just because I got stuck on that live version of 25 or 6 to 4.
Well, Maddie likes it probably because it's live.
Yeah, it's live, and there's just an insane guitar solo by Terry Kath, and so I wanted to look more into Terry Kath, and the more you look into him, obviously the more you hear about Peter Cetera, so I kind of went through the whole history of them, and I got really bummed out towards the end.
You know, isn't it just such a bummer that this guy is, like, playing with a gun and shoots himself and dies?
Oh,
I mean, Jesus.
It's not
Come
loaded.
On, cut it out, Kath.
Whoops.
Yeah. He says, oh, no, I know what I'm doing.
there's no bullets in here. What are you talking about?
Boy,
look. You imagine surprise. There's no bullets in here. Look. And his brains are all over the wall.
Did someone just go, I guess there was a bullet in there.
I'm sorry.
But he was the leader
at
the
time. Soon?
I don't know.
He was the leader of the band. It just kind of all went down.
I'm a fan.
Yeah, but on the other side, it opened the door for Cetera.
Ugh.
He shut the door open for Cetera.
And David Foster.
I also read up about Peter Cetera getting his ass kicked at a baseball game.
Really?
In like 1969.
No way. What?
By Marines, I believe. Yeah. They didn't like him. He looked like a hippie.
It was too soft.
Somehow it escalated, and they beat him so bad he was in the hospital for weeks, and that's where he wrote his first song.
What?
Yeah.
This is 1969?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm.
Oh, my God.
So Cetera can't fight either.
Well, I knew that. I love that the Marines just made a decision that this guy must get it. Everything in my training tells me this guy deserves it. Jeez.
I want to know more about that story, too. I want to go down this Chicago hole.
I did. I went down a Chicago rabbit hole.
Can anyone tell me if the commercials are changed for today?
No, they're not.
They're not. Okay, no, so I can just switch the sots. Yes. Okay.
Cut 2 minutes away from Marshall.
Okay, stacking them deep, selling them cheap, selling cars like candy bars, slinging heaps to all good peeps. These are a few things our friends at Zotford and Holly are all about. Either way, Zotford is known for their massive inventory, award-winning coffee, leather massage chairs, fresh movie-style popcorn, foosball, great deals, and friendly, fast customer service. So if you're interested in supporting the podcast, and I hope you are, and saving fat stacks of cash while buying or leasing your next new or pre-owned car, truck, or SUV, head out to Zotford today. That's where Gabara, Gary, Gary's the temporary sales manager, if you remember, Anthony, Janie, Stacy, or any member of the hottest sales staff in Oakland County, will make all of your automotive dreams come true. Just ask Pedro. Surf their bombastic deals and massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And Dr. Roche, I think they're doing mommy makeovers. I don't have it in front of me. Damn it. Trudy is at her other job. When is Trudy going to fall apart, by the way? She's got, is she wearing out, Joe?
No, she's doing good.
She is? Okay. I think she is wearing down a little bit. I think she is happy to have today off.
Yeah.
Is she happy to have today off? Or does she feel guilty about it?
I'm sure she feels guilty.
Yeah. So Trudy has a lot of guilt.
Mental health day from this show, but not from the other one?
No, not from the other one.
So does that mean we're causing more mental strain than wheels?
That's a good question. I'd like to ask her that.
I don't want to ask
I'd like to ask her that privately. Anyway, Dr. Roche
She can't say no.
That's true.
So she'll say, yeah, it is.
Boobs, always boobs, big boobs, medium boobs, boobs refilled with fat from your own body.
Hey, we're talking tits.
boob lifts. That even the doctor himself is very proud of. Not to mention all those Brazilian butt lifts and all the things that people are doing to look young as we're in the summer season. Well, we're late for the summer season, I guess, but you know what the deal is. And all those fillers and those lasers, which take all those freckles and age spots off your face and the body type. Body type is so big. I didn't know it would be this big, but it's huge. Call Dr. Roche for a consult, 248-338-1110, 248-338-1110, or go to D-R-R-O-C-H-E, Greg Roche. And, oh, there's the Hall Financial Hotline. Go to drewandmike.hallfg.com or call 248-308-5000. Go to our website and click that, too, to contact Hall about a refi if you want to save some money. And I hear the smithereens cranking. Marshall Crenshaw. I feel like these smithereens are terribly underrated.
Hello.
Hey, Marshall.
Yeah, it's me.
It's Detroit. How are you, man?
I'm super good. I was just about to dial your number. You dialed mine first. That's great.
Okay, yeah. We were just talking up the show August 24th at the Magic Bag as we insert you into the smithereens, which makes a lot of sense, I think. Did that seem like a natural thing?
Well, yeah, it does, actually. I mean, we're old friends for a really long time, and, you know, I was on this memorial show to Pat DiNizio when he passed away, and I played with the guys then, and this is just kind of a continuation of from that night, because we just, you know, really dug it, had a great time. It was a great show with a lot of people on it, and but then, you know, yeah, it does. It seems natural, and now we've done about 20 shows together, so it really is nice. You know, we have a nice rapport going on. It's good stuff.
Well, I saw Peter Hook from New Order, and Peter played the first half of the show was New Order, and the second half was Joy Division. And I thought, I wonder if Marshall's going to do Marshall, but you're not doing Marshall Crenshaw. You're just doing the smithereens pretty much, aren't you?
Yeah. When I came into it, you know, they asked me if I would mind if we just did their stuff. And I said, no, I'd rather just do your stuff. You know, it's like, this is a mental vacation for me to do somebody, you know, it's healthy once in a while, right? To just, do something. Well, anyway, yeah, that's what we're doing. It's just their stuff.
Is there any chance, like, whenever you're on my mind, might just slip into the set once or something? Or is that just out?
No, we never even have played any of my songs or tried to learn them.
You played it at his birthday party.
At whose, Pat?
Pat's.
I did, yeah, you're right. That was
a gift.
But that was, you know, just me, and I forgot who I played with that night. It was me and a guy named Tommy Williams. But,
okay, enough of that. But you guys are doing some other stuff. And I saw there was and I haven't heard it yet, but there's a Badfinger cover in the set.
Yeah, you know, we all kind of have a lot of stuff in common that we like and that we grew up with. So, yeah, there's like oddball Well, that's not such an oddball one, but, you know, we just sometimes we'll play something at soundcheck and then play it that night. And then the other night we did a Lou Reed song because Dennis Dykin and I were on a Lou Reed tribute show in New York the Wednesday before the gig. So, you know, things do kind of come up out of left field and we play different things.
Oh, that's nice.
Fun. Yeah, yeah, it's fun.
Very cool. Well, I was reading about Pat, too, and I was, of course, very sad when he died because I love the Smithereens. And he sounds like a really funny guy. Just they were telling a story about him going to a living room concert, which, you know, a lot of you guys do. You probably don't. But, you know, to make a little cash on the side. And somebody introduced himself to him, and he recognized their name, and he said, "You've bought every piece of Smithereens merchandise on my website."
Wow. About that?
Yeah, I thought that was really funny. But I guess he was answering fan email himself, and he just sounded like a very he just sounded like a nice guy.
I liked Pat, you know. I mean, sometimes I would scratch my head about things that he would do and say, but, you know, he was a character, but we always liked each other. And the whole the house concert thing, the way I remember it is he was kind of one of the inventors of that, you know?
Okay.
Like, when he started doing it, he was like, it was a new idea, and he did. He really, like, kind of went whole hog into that whole thing. But, yeah, it was pretty bad to see him, you know, like his health deteriorate. I remember I saw him in 2015 or so when I hadn't seen him in a while, and I really blew my mind when I saw him. So I was like sad about it before it even happened, you know.
Yeah,
him dying. Yeah,
yeah. It was obvious that something wasn't going right.
He had
there.
Nerve damage, which, you know, to be a guitarist and not be able to use that hand must have been devastating for him.
I know. I miss him. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't surprised. I'm sorry to say when he died, but I do. You know, it's like I wish he was still around.
Well, it's so cool, though, that you can jump in there with the guys and keep the band alive, which, you know, I assume is a temporary thing, but at least it, you know, the music's great. I love the music. I love everything he did. I love the Meet the Smithereens, which was that's Meet the Beatles straight through, isn't it?
Yeah, they did a couple of things like that where they did a you know, the remake of Meet the Beatles. They did a remake of the Tommy album.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They did Christmas with the Smithereens, you know, come up with this stuff. But yeah, that's what they did. So there's still a thing from Tommy in the set.
Oh, okay.
Where I just walk off stage and let those guys play it, you know.
Wow, yeah, just a guy that really, I mean, obviously just loved music in a very incredible way. And a great voice, too. I thought he always, everything he sang on, I thought he sounded good.
Yeah, it was like a particular sound that he sort of came up with for them, you know, like they tune the instruments down a half step and it's always Marshall amps, you know, kind of all these dark minor key kind of songs, like a really unique sound that they had, still have, you know, do it now with me singing. I don't sound like him, but.
Oh, you sound good. I thought it sounded really good.
Thank you. I think it works. I mean, I'm just singing the songs, you know.
Yeah. How are the shows going?
They're great, you know. I mean, we've had some really really nice ones, and we like doing it a lot. I like hanging around with them. They're kind of like a family somewhat, you know. Mm-hmm. They've all known each other since high school, and they've got these guys that kind of like are their camp followers and crew members, and so it's got it's a nice atmosphere at the shows.
Well, it's funny, you know, guys, because I'm close to your age too. Guys our age, you know, running around together. It's just, you know, it reminds me of playing sports back in the day. Just a bunch of guys, you know, going from city to city, and yet being older, but having watched the NoFX documentary, you see that guys just don't change that much over over time. They get a little mellower, but they still have a lot of fun traveling, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some bands are like dysfunctional families and they carry on even though they hate each other and all that stuff, but it's not like that with these guys. I mean, they're they're fun to hang around with. Mm-hmm. It's cool.
Now, coming back for the Magic Bag, of course, it's very close to Berkeley. Are you going to run mm-hmm. into a bunch of friends and people you knew? Are you going to try to avoid certain people? Are you going to go see the old house?
No, I don't know who's going to be there, and there's nobody like I have in mind that I want to avoid.
but you can just be walking down the street in Berkeley, and there's that weird old lady. I don't know.
No, I'm not worried about that. But, I imagine it will be cool on that level, and I know my mother's going to probably be there. I told her to wear earplugs.
Yeah.
They're a crazy loud band, and in that little room it's going to be loud.
Yeah.
But,
it is a great, great place for this band to play the Magic Bag. I'm sure you've played there quite a few times, right?
Well, I remember the Magic Bag way back when it was the Studio North, and they used to have like indie films and what they called art films. And I went there once to see a Lenny Bruce concert film. That was the first time I ever went in there.
Wow.
And then after that, it was a porn theater for a while.
And you never went then?
I never did for that. Nothing against porn, but, I never went there to watch porn, but I had an uncle that used to go there all the time. But anyway,
that's the guy to avoid when you come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's gone now. Otherwise, I wouldn't have said that if he was alive still. But anyway, the Magic Bag is nice. I like that place.
Very cool. And I'm sure it'll rock, too. It's a Saturday night, so I bet we'll have a great crowd. That's one of those sneaky shows that I bet will be damn good in a small venue with some great music. I wanted to mention your brother, Robert, because he's got a book out now. And I just read a little bit about it in Gary Graff's column. But do you see much of Robert?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I do. I see him whenever I can see him. And we're in touch. We stay in touch. I read the book as it was, he would send me excerpts and stuff. So I know all about that whole thing.
Yeah, how did you come off in the book? Because he was your drummer, really, in the salad days of Marshall Crenshaw, and he's your brother, and it's his three-piece. And then and I think in 89 did he leave the band, and so was there some weirdness about that? But
well, it might have been a little sad for him, and it was for me, but no, again, we've never not been friends.
Right.
As far as the book goes and stuff, he has a better memory than I have, and he also kind of kept track of things, and he did a lot of research too. So it was, I thought the book was really cool. It was very interesting. I didn't see anything where I was going to have to tell him to not put it in. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, he was tasteful about whatever it was, and, it was a little wild. It could have been wilder, but I thought he was really. I love it. Actually,
cool.
It's great.
He said. I think he said something to Gary about there was something in there about maybe doing some blow or something, and I guess maybe he's worried about your mom. He had to think about that.
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm visiting my mom right now. I'm in Michigan. I'm in her house.
Sweet.
And, so, yeah, she told me the other night, she said, there were some things in there that made me cringe a little bit, but I told her, it could have been much wilder.
I bet it could have been. Well, Marshall, second time on our podcast, and we sure appreciate having you, and we're big fans, and Saturday night, the 24th, I want to make it over there. It's just about 4 blocks from where we do the show, so, hey.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your interest.
Yeah, thank you.
Hope to see you there.
All right, man. Hope you kill it.
Okay, bye-bye.
We'll see you, Marshall.
See you, Marshall.
Adios.
I love the fact that he's like, we're not going to play any of my songs. Just, usually you guys in bands are going to fight to play their song.
I know. Well, I wanted to say, Marshall, but they shouldn't have not wanted you to play your songs.
Yeah,
that should have been up to you.
It should have been the other way around. It was the Smithereens tour.
They were on the same page as he was. Yeah, I have to admit, it would be a little hard to see Marshall with the Smithereens and not hear Whenever You're on My Mind and
Someday.
Cynical Girl and Some Way Someday. But I do love the Smithereens, and they're playing. There's some pretty cool covers in there. I'm not going to give it away. I wonder what Lou Reed song they played. Kind of surprised me. But good for him. Good guy. and God bless his mom. God, Marshall's 65. How old can his mom be?
85, 90.
Well,
what's up, Silver Fox?
I don't know how many 90-year-olds have been to the Magic Bag lately.
Well, that's pretty cool. She'll probably be easy to pick out.
Very sweet. Yeah. Well, she might be backstage. Now, good for her.
She'll be the lady with the noise-canceling headphones.
Yeah.
On. That's not a baby.
And I got to mention the Dog Days of Summer. And Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is on fire with the summer clearance event. The all-new 2020 models are on their way, and they will shove out those 19s, of course. So they got to shove them out. Time for the lowest of the low lease payments on your next ride from Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. If you're waiting for this, the wait's over. I used to do this, try and buy models, because I never cared with the models.
Yeah.
The year before. Who cares? It's less. It's new.
Mm-hmm.
Lease a new 19 Jeep Compass as low as $166 a month. How about a 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $248 a month? People love those, and they love those Ram trucks. You can lease a new 19 Ram 1500 Crew Cab Bighorn Edition as low as $149 a month. And during the summer clearance event, the longer you wait, the fewer low-priced rides you will have to choose from. So don't delay. Surf there soon to not be massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And do we have Luke today? No. Okay. Well, I might mention Luke anyway. Luke Nowacki. 20 years ago, Dr. Yaldo began performing LASIK. Now in 2019, 30,000 satisfied patients, the majority of whom got better than 20/20 vision, got to throw away their glasses, contacts, cases, all that crap. It is the safest surgery in all of medicine. Some 600,000 Americans get it every year, many by Dr. Yaldo. He's done over 20,000 multifocal lens exchange procedures, which also eliminates reading glasses for 45 over people to go along with 20/20 or better far vision. Plus, no cataracts. And they take a few minutes. It's painless. You get to throw all that stuff away and move on. And it's, I was thinking about this. There's really nothing you can make better about yourself at a certain point.
That you can't make better?
Well, no, there's nothing that you can make better.
Oh.
Aging is such an ugly thing.
It's a battle.
It is. It's a fight. It's so easy to see Dr. Yaldo for a free evaluation. She can eye exam every 2 years anyway. And if you're not interested in the LASIK or multifocal implants, why not get some new frames? They've got plenty of cool frames and sunglasses. And they can put your script right in the sunglasses, of course. And $1,500 off the regular price. Now, we haven't said that in a while. So there's your opportunity with Dr. Yaldo. Call 800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. And here we are, so unprepared, so early today because of Marshall. She's at his mom's house. Couldn't you have done it later?
No, they're going to go out to dinner at 4.
Hi, Mommy.
At 4.
Well, she's old.
Country kitchen.
Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, boy. No, I was excited to have Marshall. He's a cool
guy. Nice guy.
Really cool. And let's see. Should I bring out one of the lists since we were just talking music?
Yeah. Oh, is this...
From Rick Beato?
Beato. I think we mispronounced his name.
I think I did say Beato.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, I might have said Beato once. is, by the way, is he successful? His videos are very successful.
You know, I never
thought... Is that a living? I guess it is.
Like, what qualifies him other than just putting the YouTube videos out there? Like, who is he?
I have no idea, but he... The funny thing is he's credible.
I found my answer. He's a musician, teacher, and father of three. He's worked as a writer, producer with various bands in the rock and country genre.
I didn't know.
Such,
I gotta say,
such as
never heard of him. Next,
two albums that he produced for Need to Breathe. I guess that's a band. Hmm. The Outsiders and the Reckoning. Won Dove Award. He's a Dove Award winning musician.
What's a Dove Award?
Isn't that the Christian
best?
Oh, okay.
Rock Christian Grammys.
I will say this,
of course,
for
Brandon knows
for
that.
Rick, we may have to have him on the show if this gets any funnier. He knows his classic rock.
Yeah, he does.
He really does.
He can play.
He can play. He will play. He'll show you he can play all the things he's talking about.
Hey, if you can't play, you're not just going to win a Dove Award.
Hey, DC Talk won Dove Awards.
They probably dominated it in the 90s.
And Amy Grant.
Anyway, Rick, he knows deep tracks by bands, and I'm going, I can't believe he knows deep tracks by this band. And I'm talking about not just Rush or Metallica, but, you know, there's just some stuff that comes up on his list where you go, whoa, How does he know that?
I got great news for you. You can become a Beato Club member or Beato Club member.
Does it cost money?
$5. You get a weekly Rick live streams.
Beato!
For club memberships only with Q&A. Free access to the ever-growing list of PDFs that go along with the videos.
Beato is way hotter than you do.
For $5. He is way hotter.
I don't know why I thought this, but I was just thinking of how many people have turned down that $5. I wonder what the percentage is. Let me talk about Brand's percentages on the phone.
Yeah.
How many people see that see his list, which is millions? How many of them actually go, oh, yeah, I want that newsletter, $5. Well, no problem.
They probably just jump to the platinum membership for $100 a month.
Beto's falling fast. What the hell happened?
You get the same live streams and PDFs, but you also get access to exclusive video content, free mini courses, behind-the-scene footage, and more.
Stop.
You'll be listed as a supporter in the description of his YouTube
videos. There
are
no platinum members.
And monthly video.
Spent the $100.
Monthly video feedback by Rick on your compositions, performances, productions, or mixes. So if you're going for a Dove Award, Drew, this is the way to go. $100 a month.
Is there some level above platinum?
No, that was
awesome. Smart guy, that Rick.
All right. His top 20 guitar sounds. I like this list. And they're
guitar
not
sounds, so it's not a riff.
Sounds, yeah. It's sort of like tones, you know, or, for example, Money for Nothing, Dire Straits.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, that's a really interesting sound. Eruption, Van Halen.
Nice.
That was an obvious one. This one was, I really like this pick because it is a unique sound, and I wouldn't have thought of it. Walking on the Moon, Police,
reggae,
Andy Summers. But the guitar tone is really cool. Do You Feel Like We Do, Peter Frampton? Do you feel like I do?
That's what he's talking about, the voice box.
it's a different, it's a sound. The sound is different. Whoa. Yeah, he's including the talk box.
Whoa, I guess the mental health day's over.
What?
Wow. I believe she's coming in now.
The guilt overwhelmed Trudy.
It did.
I can't believe that.
What?
Why can't you believe that? I'm susceptible to all kinds of guilt.
I know, but I thought you would get over it.
She can't say no.
You're tired.
Mm-hmm. I was. I hurried up, got everything done, did my contest, and then I got on the freeway and hit a traffic jam immediately.
Oh.
Because now is the time to do patching crew thing.
Oh, of course.
Wait, traffic now on 696?
And I would have gone home. And it wasn't guilt that overcame me. It was just I was trapped and I had to keep going. So.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Traffic worked in our favor.
Well,
there was some speculation you were taking a mental health day from this podcast because it causes more mental health anguish than Wheels does.
Oh, I don't think that's the case. Oh, absolutely.
Well, you still did Wheels, though.
Well, I mean, I just feel like I'm obligated.
Yeah, there was more guilt. There's more guilt involved.
You did it out of obligation.
She has health care with Wheels.
True.
Fair enough.
So true.
When I put you in Gatlinburg with John Glenn, I got a couple emails. One person who said that Lisa Guerrero, somehow we mentioned she was on a cruise.
Yeah.
And you said, oh, she's going to meet guys. And so they were implying that Trudy thinks that's where you go to meet guys on a cruise. But I don't remember you going on a cruise.
Oh, no. I've only been on maybe one cruise in my life, and it was horrible. So.
Really?
Okay. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Where'd you go?
It was boring.
Boring. Yeah, I always feel like I'd be trapped on a boat myself.
Right. Oops. I'm sorry. It was a Disney cruise.
it was Zeus's cruise.
He just had a hurt look on his face a little bit. It wasn't because boring.
He had fun.
I've had a good time on cruises.
I love
See, your
cruises.
Misery was worthwhile. It brought joy to your child.
Yeah, Drew, you would not like a cruise. It's like a shuttle bus.
I wouldn't. No, too much cattle.
Yeah,
too much cattle.
There's a cattle. Yeah.
I don't like cattle. I don't like being cattle. I just want to moo. It just feels wrong.
Well, they cattle you, herd you off at the Bahamas or something like that. And you have like an hour
right.
to be there. What's the point of that?
I feel like an ant. I feel like one of those ants that's fighting over a crumb.
Yeah.
I just feel like, I don't know, I start looking at the larger Earth and just thinking what an insignificant little...
I know.
I don't know. It's weird. I think too much.
And this cruise was before everybody started going on cruises and getting horrendously ill.
So there's
even more reasons not to go on a cruise. But Gatlinburg, I don't know. I'll give it a second chance.
John Glenn. Somebody else was responding to that. I'm surprised how much attention that got.
Hey. Jay. What, does he have a timeshare in Gatlinburg?
He's Trudy in Gatlinburg. he mentions the cruise. And then was it somebody else. I got a lot of good email today.
Yeah?
Is it Adam?
I got a lot of teasing on Twitter about Gatlinburg, too. and about Joe DiMaggio from over the weekend, which I didn't
realize. What happened over the weekend?
Well, our best of had some...
About his
some
pubes?
Segment, yes, about Joe DiMaggio and his pubes. I got a lot of Twitter response, and I was just like, what? Because I don't remember that exactly.
I know.
A lot of email about fish.
Yeah.
Boy, some major fish fans.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he sent me all the stats from the Madison Square Garden run where they never played the same song twice. I thought that was really cool, actually.
Oh, wow.
But let's see. Just in the middle of listening to your recap of the Bachelorette finale. Brilliant. Yes. Also, we have a separated birth. Hannah sounds exactly like Britney Spears, especially when she's frazzled. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I
see
agree.
That. I'm 35-year-old. We suffer from Wicks.
I want to see that movie.
Wicks is working with Gen X.
Oh, wow. What does that mean?
But I think he was actually, because he followed up. He meant Wiz.
Yes.
He works with several Gen Z. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gen Z. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you're right.
It's not all that flattering what he has to say about him.
Why? Because he has a sheer socks with
him? So Gen Z people, cover your ears.
He says they're beyond sensitive over the simplest things having in my ear.
35% of Gen Z would rather share socks than an office space.
Oh, my God. This one is so sensitive.
Oh, he's a Pearl Jam fan. Seen him 31 times and counting. Never disappointed.
Whoa.
Even during Last Kiss. Mark!
Oh, that's the worst. That's the time to go to the bathroom.
I am a donut.
I love Pearl Jam. That's not my favorite Pearl Jam song. Not even close.
Biggest hit, too.
Yep.
Just very sad.
You've been hitting it, doing the rock bracket. Get on it. Get your one seeds. Pearl Jam, Metallica, Van Halen, and of course, Squire for the shit bracket.
I am kind of on the same page with them, though.
I kind of like having a shit bracket.
Yeah, but that guarantees a shit team is going to get through.
I don't know. I'm interested, though. I think more people call in for what the shit bracket is, please.
Gen Z hates open office concepts. 50% of them want their own office.
You know what's always funny to me is thinking that there are huge Billy Squire fans out there. There are people who are like, oh, my God, you're about Billy Squire. You know, and it's his nephew's sick or something. I mean, just there are people who are just really hung up on Billy Squire.
What?
I mean, you know there are.
His nephew is sick.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I don't believe it until I hear Elizabeth Warren talk about it.
Aha.
So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. We were doing the 20 top guitar sounds from Rick Beato.
Cool.
And I just got through Eruption, Money for Nothing.
Figure.
Walking Beato. On the Moon, there it is.
A lot of reverb on it.
I like that he's air guitaring
Andy
along.
Andy Summers always had such a unique tone
Stop
and sound.
Speaking!
Do you feel like we do, Frampton?
Oh, yeah.
Wind cries.
Notes, he's moving his mouth, and the mouth creates that wall-like effect.
Wind Cries Mary, Hendrix.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's my favorite Hendrix tone, but Hendrix has to be in there.
Oh, hell yeah.
Gimme Shelter. That's a really sweet
sound. Six.
Yeah, that all
quiet.
Reverby thing going
on. Yeah, it is reverby. I think he says that, Trudy.
Rolling Stones, Gimme Shelter. I love these guitar sounds. The atmosphere, the tremolo, the echo that's on there.
Shut your fucking talk hole.
Under the Bridge by the Chili Peppers.
Oh,
great.
Oh.
It's a great sound.
By far not their best, but still.
As you can see from the video, he's playing a Jazzmaster.
Oh, yeah.
The guitar tone sounds like it's a Fender amp. It's really compressed.
I don't know if it is.
This is like Clark talking about flying, isn't it?
It really is. Very passionate.
Yeah,
boy.
At number 8, we have one of my favorite metal guitar sounds.
Which is?
Oh. Sad But True by Metallica.
Oh, yeah.
That is a fat
crunch.
Man.
Oh, my God.
I have to say, I like this list. I think it's really good.
That comes out of that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that something?
I pick Sad But True because I think that they are the best sounding guitars on the Black Album. Now, I was debating whether to take that or
Why
the Master
limited
of
to
Puppets.
He likes
it's
that
a
album.
Very different sound.
Hey,
Hey, this Master is a Dove Award has winner. A darker, you're stoned. I would say more mid-range sound than this.
Shut
this
your is more big jumper.
Okay, get ready to get pissed. Somebody's going to be upset about this. He loves Edge, and he includes Where the Streets Have No Name, which I think is a, you know, I have to listen to it, I think.
Is it the same lick of, like, all Edge licks that Mike Clark used to? The dinky dinky dinky.
I like Edge.
Dinky, dinky.
Zero Boy?
Yeah, Zero Boy played some Edge for us over the best
of this may also upset some people. He seems to like Boston and Tom Scholz a lot.
Oh, yeah.
He could go to hell.
Peace of Mind by Boston.
Best sounding grunge record of the 90s.
Oh, here we go.
Check it out.
This is good. Phil on Black Day, Soundgarden.
I hear what he's going to say about Boston.
That was, of course, Fell on one. Black Days by Soundgarden.
Y'all don't shut up. I'm going to go out on my mind.
Guitar sound from the intro just by itself so you can hear what one guitar
Thank
sounds
you.
Like.
Thank
you. Jerry Cantrell.
No. Sound Kim Thiel. He's the bassist.
Sweet Emotion.
There's Cornell playing it. I don't know.
Sweet Emotion by Aerosmith, which he separates too. I think that's showing how cool he is when he separates it out.
Beautiful reverb. That's, I would imagine it's a plate reverb.
If you don't shut the fuck up, you can't even hear the guitar.
yeah, please talk about Shine On.
Shine On, You Crazy Diamond. I thought that was a good one because
guitar tones are just so rich sounding. Our next couple of sounds I'm going to actually have to play because they are blockers in the video.
He's got his guitar out.
But one of them is this, number 13.
Pretty strong. Completely forgot. I would never thought of it.
How hard he is playing this.
I know, he's very hard.
Now, that is, of course, David Gilmour from the...
Yeah, whatever. Shut up. He completely screws up Paperback Writer.
Oh.
Which does have a cool tone, because I don't know what he's talking about, and he has a piece of audio that sucks.
What's funny about Paperback Writer, you were watching it, and you kept backing it up.
I didn't understand what he was saying.
I came on, I go, can you please play that? It makes no sense what he says here at the beginning. But I like that he has a new venue. That's how hard he's working.
Yeah, he's in a hotel room now.
Wouldn't sound good on that. Yeah. Okay, coming in at number 14.
That's how hard he works.
Well, you guys notice I'm in a different place now. I'm actually up in Baltimore now. Okay. And I've been working on this video for about 3 days because I'm trying to decide what songs actually belong on this list. This next sound, I couldn't probably play if I said the name of it.
I couldn't probably play if I said the name of it?
Is that because the Beatles blocked stuff online when he did this? Is that what he's saying?
I don't
know. Now, check it out. That was, of course, Paperback Writer by the Beatles.
Wait, he just said the name.
My life. Shut up.
Really original at the time in the mid-60s to hear a sound with that kind of distortion.
Yeah, blah, blah,
on the
blah,
radio.
Blah.
Coming in at number 15.
Wait, he's back in the studio.
There are so many great sounds to choose from.
He spent three days on this.
Put a dick in your mouth and shut up.
Somewhere I Belong by Linkin Park. That was a great selection. I thought it was really good.
I'm talking about this selection. Keep going.
Chevelle.
No.
An Evening with El Diablo.
I feel like you skipped one.
Reeling in the Years. Steely Dan.
No, it was all before that one.
Oh, that's the second thing I got.
Sweet Emotion?
No, we'll just let Rick tell us.
Oh, yeah.
I think Morello is so underrated.
Oh, my God.
Yes. How did I miss this? You're right, I didn't write it down. Rage is on almost every
that was,
list.
Of course, Tom Morello from the song Bulls on Parade off the Evil Empire.
He's got a
record.
Similar crutch.
Riff that goes.
That's pretty cool watching him play.
This one song
Wait,
alone.
It's back in the hotel.
The scratching sound he does later on in it. Coming in at number 16.
That's all you're
once
giving
again,
me, Beato?
These are not in any...
That's it?
Wow. Well, look what he gave Paperback Writer. I'm not happy about
Beto.
That. Reeling in the Year, Steely Dan. Elliot Randall plays that, by the way. Why does Steely Dan have so many people playing their parts?
I don't know.
That was Elliot Randall's one take solo on Reelin' in the
One
Ears
take Elliot.
Steely Dan's Ooh. Can't Buy a Thrill.
How does he know it was
that
one
album
take?
Has some incredibly great.
All I hear coming out of your mouth is blah, 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 blah. I don't know what the hell you're saying. Just shut up.
All right. We Are the Champions by Queen.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The coin, and because the edge of the coin is rough.
Shut the fuck up.
So he plays with a coin, so it sounds
beautiful.
Vibrates.
Beautiful, clean sound. Then he rolls into the distorted sound.
Quiet.
Why does he keep going back and forth between...
Because he's been working on it for three days.
Sets.
Spent a lot of time on this.
3 days.
Ramble On by Pager and Zeppelin. Cool. Now, that was... honestly, I never heard the guitar separated quite like that, so... Is that Beto playing it?
That was one of the lead breaks in the interlude of Ramble On.
Beto.
It's played with a fuzz. And I think it has such a unique tone to it. Now, Jimmy plays with fuzz on the Whole Lot of Love solo.
Shut up and show your breath.
He uses...
Then he brings in Rush.
Cool.
La Via, La Villa, Strangiato. I don't know the song. Alex Lifeson. But Rush... They have interesting tones, I suppose.
That Brandon was La Villa Strangiato from the Rush Hemisphere record, which was released in 1978. I remember I was in 10th grade.
Oh, boy.
And I always loved the guitar tones.
10th grade, Jim.
Clean guitar picking tones. They're just incredible sounding.
She's born in 64.
There's something about them. There's a mood that that record has.
Shut up.
And it's one of my favorite Rush records. I personally like A Farewell to the Kings. And
what aged him so...
The music.
This spending 3 days making this video.
Yeah, going back and forth to Baltimore.
And then I think the last one is Layla by Derek and the Dominoes, which that's Duane Allman and Eric Clapton.
Oh, hell yeah.
20, it's a great riff, too. Really 21 rock guitar sounds of all time. Make sure to comment about all the songs that I've off my list. Remember to subscribe, like the video, and if you're interested in my Beato book, you can find it on my website at www.rickbeato.com.
Oh my god, you ever stop talking?
As if we didn't click on it.
Oh, his website?
We need to interview him.
That reminds me.
I would.
Oh, yeah, I'm maybe. I'm not ready yet.
What do you think his book has on Amazon?
I don't think I want to read his book. I think I prefer his videos. I don't know. You Really Got Me, but I started reading
review
comments.
And it's one star.
Oh, boy. Man, boy. Oh. It's funny to read comments because people are like, how can you not have You Really Got Me, Dave Davies?
A
lot of Smiths fans. How soon is now? I thought that was a good point.
It's nice to know those people are there, though.
Yes. You know? Welcome to the Jungle, Sweet Child of Mine. No.
Yes, pretty basic.
You know? A Starship Trooper by Yes! Oh, my God!
Yeah.
That is a cool tone.
That's a cool song.
It's a really cool tone, too. That long jam at the end.
I like Roundabout, too, but it was a little overplayed.
I know. Yes.
It's a little cooked.
Yes tends to be loved by musicians because Chris Squire is such a great player.
Sure. But their lyrics are so weird.
Yes.
Brown Sugar by the Stones.
That's cool.
That's a good tone.
What is this? List? What are you going through?
The tone. 20 greatest guitar sounds.
Oh.
Those are the honorable mentions.
Oh,
these are people in the comments saying,
for
the podcast.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All Right Now by Free.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great riff.
That is great riff.
Stay With Me, Faces.
Oh, yeah.
That's really good.
Great song.
I agree.
Oh,
yeah. Great conversation.
That's Ronnie Wood, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely, that's Ronnie Wood. Great jam at the end of that song, too.
You want to know something sad? If you type in Stay With Me, you get the Sam Smith version first.
Oh, man.
Listen to that. That is nasty.
Yeah, it's really gritty. We interviewed... Oh, no.
No.
What's
no!
going on?
What?
Isn't that the one that he stole from someone?
Oh, he did. You're right, Trudy.
The song he pirated
is it
from...
Is true? I'm not good.
Yeah.
Listen to his lyrics, by the way. I've just decided I would not like him. He's too intense.
Sam Smith?
Yeah, he's too soft.
Oh,
what a guy.
So soft.
Never seem to go to plan.
Jesus, why don't you go cry about it?
I don't know why. If there's a 30-year-old that isn't really soft, I really respect him immensely. To grow up around such softness would be really hard.
I know.
Trudy, great memory. This is what he stole.
Oh, that's right. He ripped off Tom Petty.
And slowed it down?
Yep.
Thought he'd get away with it? Wrong.
Let's just stay with me. Back down.
You wouldn't say that to Tom Petty, would you?
Tom Petty never cried about anything.
You know we should play, Brandon, the Why the Beatles Suck, the comedian.
Oh, we played it yesterday.
Right. Oh, at the end?
Thanks for
the... I left when I was done. I am the most important thing on the podcast.
You left after the L. Ron Hubbard salute.
No, I ended up tossing it at the end of the show because you did mention it yesterday early. And I
was that not fucking hilarious?
It was good.
I thought it was really good. Beatles. I don't even know who he is, but...
No, a lot of people thought it was Bill Burr just from his voice, but it's not Bill Burr. It's some young kid. But it's a pretty good set.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, he's talking about Mick Jagger. The point is that the... first of all, that the Rolling Stones are better than the Beatles because they're still playing.
Yeah, he said... He 40
said, years!
He said, hey, if you bought two toasters in 1962 and one toaster stopped in 1970 and the other toaster's still out there, which one's the best toaster?
Oh,
that's funny.
It was very funny.
Okay.
But you know what was really funny was reading the comments, because his point is, you know, that you can go to a party and say, oh my God, the Beatles suck, and somebody will be in your face. And if you go to a party and go, you know, I don't like Chinese people, that, you know, you'll probably get some feedback. You'll probably have a discussion.
More people defend the Beatles than the Chinese.
Well, more vehemently, yes, perhaps. And there's people in the comments who are angry.
Oh, God. What are they defending, so the Beatles or the Chinese?
The Beatles, of course.
Know,
are you kidding?
Kidding? That's great. That's really funny.
I'm trying to remember which joke it was, but there was one joke that just people just couldn't let it pass.
God.
I know. Well,
joke.
You know, but... I mean, how dare I be surprised by that? Because you can't say anything.
Well, somebody...
I mean, honestly, people can't take a joke anymore.
Somebody's always available to be outraged about something.
Yeah. Yeah. So. There is a lot of just... availability. has anybody seen the David Spade show?
No.
No.
How is it?
I saw his open that you were watching upstairs. It was really funny open.
I thought it was pretty good.
If you like him, isn't it?
Yeah.
His humor?
It's him. It's him all the way. He's got a panel, which, does that remind anybody of anything? The fact that the guests are all out there at once?
Politically incorrect.
Bill Maher?
No. Chelsea Handler.
Oh.
Didn't she?
Oh, I don't know. She
never
did that.
Never watched it, so I don't know.
Never watched it.
I never saw Chelsea's show. Never.
Yeah,
actually, I take it back. Everything I ever saw from Chelsea's show was that little chewy guy doing something.
I know, which was never funny.
I don't get it.
Was it ever funny?
I never laughed.
I didn't either.
Probably why I didn't watch them sit around in a circle.
Kelly Kowacko was on, Jim Jefferies, and some other dude that I should know.
What?
I can't remember who it was. But anyway.
The remote brand. Oh,
Jim Jefferies was on, though?
Yeah, Jim Jefferies was on.
Oh, I watched that.
I thought it was funny. I thought the show was pretty good. I don't know if it has long legs. Mm. But then again, David Spade, I can't see him doing this for 20 years or 10 years. First of all, he's too old, but...
Oh, whoa.
Well, I mean, a TV show?
That's what that's an issue he dealt with in the promos for it.
Yeah.
Like, back the camera up, I'm too old for this.
Well, I just don't know. I mean, that's a grind, doing a TV show 5 days a week. That's a huge grind. I just think he does stand up. I mean, he's just, I almost feel like he's too good to do it for a long time, because Comedy Central, they're not going to draw an NBC audience for a late night show. What's it called?
Lights Out with David Lights Spade. Out, it's kind of like Tough Crowd. Remember when Colin Quinn did Tough Crowd?
It's not that tough.
It's not?
I didn't think so. But
I mean,
I've only seen one
episode.
That was
a bunch of comedians sitting around joking about stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was good. I think it's worth it. If you like David Spade, you'll probably like it.
Hmm.
And then, let's see, I might as well finish off the entertainment news today. I saw this story, and one thing made me laugh, and nothing should make me laugh about this, but it was a story about this drummer from a band called Echo Smith. In his Echo Smith band. was sending inappropriate
Echo Smith
messages.
Echo Smith and the
Bunnymen? Yeah, there you go. Wait, Echo and the Bunnymen and the Smiths combined?
Oh,
Johnny Marr?
Oh, really? That would be a pretty interesting mashup.
Might. Anyway, this drummer from Echo Smith, who I've never heard of, was sending some inappropriate messages to Travis Barker's 13-year-old daughter, who I have heard of. Alabama is her name.
Alabama Barker?
Oh, no.
Yes.
I kind of like that name.
Wait, he named his... That's his daughter?
She does not look 13.
No, she doesn't.
I'll say that.
That's a 13-year-old?
I know.
Oh, my God.
Shanna Moakley, her mother, was a beauty queen, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was a Playboy model.
Did I just say she was a beauty queen?
Playboy model, yeah.
It's a good thing.
Why is she on Instagram if she's only, well, I guess you have to be 13 to be on Instagram,
well,
right?
He's been contacting her since she was 10.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, stuff like, I think you're beautiful. Then
back down, creepy old guy.
I know. Then apparently there's a lot of messages I'd like to see more. No, I don't want to see more. He invited her to a barbecue. Okay. She's 13. And she, her response was, you're, her response was, you're like 40.
Oh. Ouch.
That was
Ouch.
Good.
Did he commit suicide after that?
I wouldn't want my 13-year-old there's no coming back. Putting pictures like that. Look at all these comments. Hey, can I smash? Oh, you're so beautiful.
Oh, really?
Read some more, Brandon.
Like, good morning, dimples.
Just too pretty. Yeah.
Scroll
this
down.
This is
keep
weird.
Going.
No, no, it's fucking crazy.
And here she is, and she's dressed pretty
scandalous. Yeah.
Wow.
What is her?
Can I smash? Bikini shots?
Is that real, Mark?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Come on.
Man. Does she have any bikini shots? No.
Well, kidding. Honestly, look at them. Look at all these pictures.
I bet you there are.
Like, hey, check out my ass. Aww. Check out my 13-year-old ass.
Now, how does she caption
That's
that?
Crazy.
How does she caption that?
Her butt is falling out of her shorts.
Oh, just Google,
no
googly eye emoji.
I don't know. I can't believe it.
You know... Her father is in a band.
Yeah,
she's
why?
Got weird eyebrows too. Look at that.
Was I assume this is so she can get a large following, become an influencer,
of course,
and make a living doing exactly nothing but taking pictures of her hot self.
Yep.
How many followers?
Let's see. This is the first day I've ever heard of her.
Sick, I know.
293,000.
293,000 people are following a 13-year-old.
What percentage are 13-year-olds versus 40-year-olds?
I bet it's very few.
Fun fact on the band Echo Smith.
Yes.
Two of their biggest influences, Echo and the Bunnyman and the Smiths.
Oh, okay. Well,
that is where the
sense.
Name came from.
Okay, Brandon, can we hear some more comments? I hate to do this, but I can't help myself.
So what happened to this guy, too,
I just find a hot picture. Nothing except that he.
I'm not going to call any of these a hot picture. This girl's now. I'm down to where she's 11 years old.
Oh my god!
Oh my god! This is just ridiculous. Okay,
you're a child. That's one of the comments. Was it from Halle Berry? You're a child.
No offense, but I'm uncomfortable the way that you're posing in this picture. So people,
wait a second.
Why are you on her account?
That's on him. That's not on her. He's the one that's beaten off to it.
Look at this girl. here comes a 10-year-old girl who's a little jealous. She's so flat. I'm 10 and I'm thick.
Oh, what? Let's go to her. Why is she on Instagram? Let's see what she... Oh, it's...
Why are we doing this? What? I mean, not
society,
us.
Right?
I mean, yeah. Why? Why?
I don't know.
You're not a woman. You are a child.
Act
like it.
I've never heard, act like a child. Never heard that before.
That's a new one.
Oh, stop acting like a child.
Because she put hashtag National Woman's Day.
Yeah, you're not a woman, honey. Sorry. Sorry, you're a girl.
Women don't let her in.
She's not a woman.
No, we're not going to permit you in Alabama.
You are a hoe. Oh, this is perfection.
That's her mom that wrote that.
This is perfection.
Wait, that last one you wrote was from
what?
Her mom. Oh,
yeah.
No, so beautiful.
So beautiful,
so
yeah.
So beautiful. I'll see
mama.
You at home.
I miss your love.
Ew.
What?
You're so pretty. You're a cutie pie.
You know what? Most of these look like they're from other little girls, like her friends.
293,000 people.
No,
could
I know. No,
be commenting.
I'm sure there's some random dong in here.
Oh, put a note on your page stating your age.
Not a bad idea. Where are your parents? Shut up.
Why are you on there?
Where are your
Mr.
parents?
Mr. Where are your parents?
It's my civic duty to yell at 13-year-olds on Instagram that I think need to grow down.
Well, that's an all-life job. Okay, so this guy, we'll move on. This guy responds and says, oh, I just want to say I really like your music and sorry for messaging, and I'm 20. So he couldn't let the, you're like 40 thing. He just couldn't let that go. Like, no, I'm only 7 years old, and it's not as creepy as you think.
So great.
20.
What the, oh my God. And then, okay, the front man.
Fun fact, Echo Smith, brother and sister band.
Oh, how cute.
Ew.
Brand New is a band. I don't know what they are. Jesse Lacey is the lead singer, and a guitar tech from the band called him out for, you know, there's been this really creepy shit going on, and I just thought I would call him out. I don't know if he's fired or he just his conscience was getting to him. So here come the girls, including a 15-year-old. She's not 15 now. She's probably 30 or something. But she's 31. No, she's 30. She is 30 because he's 39 now. When she was 15, apparently she went to a show or something, and she contacted him, and he contacted her back. Next thing you know, he wants nudes. He wants all these poses, all these outfits. And then she said that he started sending her videos of him masturbating.
Which, nice.
Yeah.
When she's 15.
When she was 15, yeah.
And
he was 24. No, in a band.
The Echo Smith guy or a related
No, this is a different guy. This guy from
band.
Brand New.
Brand New, yeah.
Yeah. So I would imagine, are these guys going to be canceled pretty quick?
No, they're still out rocking. He's 41. They're still putting out albums. Because two girls, like you said, came forward and he posted a public apology.
Two more have come forward, but this just came out.
I'm sorry for masturbating on...
Yeah, he said he was selfish, narcissistic, which that's pretty much
so because his
masturbating in a definition, right?
Because his guitar tech...
selfish and narcissistic?
Because his guitar tech called him out, suddenly he's had this epiphany?
Well, he says he had a sex addiction and he had sought treatment over a decade before these allegations became public.
I wonder
how many of these happened in the decade since.
I know exactly what you're going to ask, Trudy. Go ahead, ask it because it's a great question.
When did sex addiction become one of the addictions that, you know, you could...
Michael Douglas, maybe?
Well, but is that... I mean, I thought that there was sort of a, you know, like a back and forth over whether it was a real thing or whatever.
Okay, sex addiction, does that also include pedophilia? So if you're a sex addict, you can't help yourself from hitting on 15-year-olds and masturbating
totally
for them?
That's totally different.
Oh, yeah.
I would think so. That's what I thought you were going to ask, by the way.
No, but thank you for...
For thinking that you would ask that? Yes. For thinking you would ask that great question that you didn't ask?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, that's... But don't they go back and forth? They sort of seesaw back and forth whether or not it's an actual thing or whether it's just somebody trying to
it
recover.
It has been added to the World Health Organization's clarification of diseases.
You know,
and they claim only.
So if I ever get in trouble for anything with like that, I just should say,
she wants it so bad.
I'm not a big believer in sex being an addiction. I don't know, you know, because they'll tell you that cocaine is not an addiction. It's not.
Wait, really?
No, it's not addictive.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Yeah.
But I knew some people who could not stop doing cocaine.
But they mean it's physically not addictive.
Well, sex is physically... Is sex physically addictive? Is that what they're saying?
No. No, it's a mental... It's a mental addiction. Compulsive participation, engagement in sexual activity.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. There are some awfully porn addicted people.
Next thing you know, Oregon's going to pass 5 days off if you have sex addiction in high school.
Yeah, you get 5 days off to stay home and beat off.
You know what? I think Oregon would go for that. I read up on Oregon, by the way.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, like back in the 50s, they wanted to make themselves an entirely white state.
Oregon? Well, they succeeded.
Yeah.
Outside of the Timberwolves, or not the Timberwolves,
like, exclude all other ethnicities besides, and they wanted to be the one white state in the union.
It worked. They're pretty white.
It really did.
Did a good job.
Yeah, they did.
Until they got a basketball team.
Okay.
Yen.
So, let's see. I guess we should talk about the debate briefly. I don't really want to get too deep into it, but the most Googled thing from the debate is Representative Tulsi Gabbard because she's hot.
Yeah, she's
cute.
Hot.
She's very hot.
It's
but
Gabbard,
I think
but,
it just yeah. Oh, whatever.
I know. I'll be that guy.
Gabbard.
We're not going to be saying President Gabbard.
Yeah,
or
President
Gabbard. Either way,
I think Gabbard sounds better.
Yeah, Kareem Abdul Gabbard.
Yeah. But, I mean, doesn't that just really tell how silly this is, the fact that everybody goes, oh, she's hot.
You hit on a point that's been driving me nuts, and CBS This Morning and GMA did the same thing the last 2 days, like the most Googled name or question from the thing. It's like, that doesn't mean anything. That just means people are interested in, like, the really minute facts of something, and it's mainly, who the fuck are these people?
Well, I think she got Googled because she's hot. She didn't say... Did she say anything really that great?
She was good in the first debate. Last night, meh.
Well, last night she really took Kamala Harris to task, you know, especially with the marijuana comment saying, you put 1,500 people and... or maybe 15,000, I can't remember the exact number, behind bars for marijuana, but when you were asked if you ever smoked, you laughed about it. And
she also accused her of holding back... death row evidence from death row.
Oh yeah, she wouldn't test the DNA.
Yeah,
Yeah, there's
and
there
most
are
people
some...
just saw that exchange and thought,
I would just like to say, get it on.
No, I also was reading about how she, and I don't know what the reason would be, except the obvious one, that she went very soft on the Catholic Church child molestation somehow.
Kamala
she opted
did?
Not to
really
pursue it. Yeah, I think it's on her Wikipedia
California.
Page.
Really?
So I don't know. Is well, she so, Catholic? I don't
is
know.
Is there a defense? Hey, so did every other prosecutor.
Well, yeah, I think you could say that.
It's not much of a defense.
I think it was. I seriously think it was on her Wikipedia page. There was some ordeal that came up that we would never know about otherwise.
Regarding the debate, has anybody dropped Biden off on a farm upstate somewhere yet? Just let him wander around.
Last night wasn't a very good look for him.
I thought the hilarious thing was, wasn't his final act to give out a URL that doesn't exist?
Yes, and you see what happened?
How funny is that? Yeah.
A boot edge supporter edge grabbed it. So bad.
Yeah, at first it went directly to Boot Edge. Now it's some dude named Josh. I'm the first
Josh?
Gen Zer to run for office.
Let's call him.
Josh for America? Yeah, he's industrious. Sure. I'm a fan already.
Okay. Does he share socks?
Has Trump pounded on Biden yet? Because I assumed, when I saw that last night, I thought, oh my God, is Trump going to pound on Biden today?
He should.
2020 presidential race. Now, I may be the youngest candidate by far in this race, but I know I have what it takes.
Oh, you put on a suit for this.
Joe30330.org.net.com, they were all purchased last night.
People by just, this guy?
No, I'm not sure if they were all purchased by this guy, but he at least has .com. Josh for America.
Is he available?
I mean,
I can... phone number on there?
Probably got a number on there. If not, we can find the number it's registered to.
Josh!
He's Trump's been tweeting, but nothing mainly about
I'm shocked. Because the
so,
first
so
thing...
So far, I haven't gotten
Biden was stumbly-bumbly.
Yeah.
And I just thought, he's 76.
Yeah.
He doesn't... I don't know. Does he look 76? He kind of does. Sort of.
Here's a fun Trump tweet from 3 hours ago. Big rally tonight in Cincinnati, Ohio. See you there. P.S. Our country's doing great. P.S.
What? Oh, man.
That's our president.
God bless him.
Oh, the budget deal got passed today, so he's getting off on that.
I have to admit.
Man, he's on fire tweeting.
When it comes to all of this stuff, you know, and outrages, if the headline is anything the last 3 years, it's outrage.
Right.
I would say that's the headline. And I, on the other hand, whoever's president generally is like, is my president? I'm not one of those people that goes, he's not my president. They're not my president. They are my president. And what's going on is important. And a lot of stuff matters. And some matters a lot less. But the bottom line is we have a small business here. And I would really like the economy to continue being good. Because that is the only thing. Because we operate on a tightrope as it is. And if things went 2009-ish,
this wouldn't exist.
And I don't know if that it matters who's president when that happens. I don't think – I think there's a lot of bad luck involved in that.
The president,
Not all.
Every president gets too much credit and too much criticism when it comes to the economy.
And so I'm not really thinking that I want a certain candidate because I want the show to keep making money. But it's certainly on my mind.
All about you.
Well, it is all about me. Isn't it all about everybody?
Everybody's
all about you.
Yeah.
I mean, some people are voting on guns alone.
Yeah.
Or they're voting on
racism.
Isn't it amazing how many single issue voters there are now?
Yeah.
I mean, you got the right to life people, the abortion people.
That's why I'm surprised that the Democrats don't really have that one lifestyle issue for people to get behind and vote on.
But that's why they have 50 people up there, is because each one has their own
tearing each other up too. Tearing each other up.
The hardest thing on Twitter that people are hitting Joe Biden with is "Go easy on me, kid."
Oh yeah,
I'm an old man.
Kamala Harris.
Oh, because he called her kid.
That is so stupid.
Don't call a woman in the Senate kid.
You know, I call 40-year-olds kids sometime, and I'm not even that much older than them.
Some.
Just because they seem like kids, or I knew them when they were kids, and so they seem like kids.
Here's Trump's tweet about the debate. Very low ratings for the Democratic debate last night. They're desperate for Trump.
Huh?
The TV networks.
The people watching. Oh, I would agree. The networks
are
desperate for Trump.
Yes.
What are they going to do? What is going to happen to these newspapers if Trump goes away? You know how many clicks he gives these people? I would think Fox News and CNN, he's got to be great for them.
He's good. He is good for them. But he's bad for Fox in a way, though. So they would do better. It's always
Fox.
Whoever, it's always whoever is out of power, isn't the other one, the other side, the media side, doing better?
I don't know. Didn't Fox have
really high ratings when Obama was president?
Isn't Fox number one, though, of all those MSNBC and CNN? I think, Brandon, can you check? I think Fox News has better ratings than...
For ratings, Fox News is number one.
Yeah. But maybe they're stronger when Obama's president. I don't know.
Well,
but,
I mean, because you have all those people hate watching and...
Yeah. Yeah.
But you do have all those people love watching, too.
Yeah, you're right.
So, anyway, the thing that really cracked me up last night was that Obama is now a problem for Joe Biden because he deported so many immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
He wouldn't say what advice he gave Obama on immigration.
Was really a terrible answer.
And you know, after taking credit for all these things with Obama, apparently Joe Biden is so paranoid that Obama's immigration, which, by the way, I don't remember. Were people screaming about Obama deporting people? I don't remember that.
No.
Mm-mm.
But he deported more than Trump, and Bush deported more than Obama, and Clinton deported more than Bush because the numbers have been just going down.
So anyway, I thought, wait, Obama is now a bummer for Joe Biden. Are you kidding? Are you kidding me? So yeah, they were trying to call him to the carpet for Obama's deportations, which did any of, I'd love to know if any of those people said anything about immigration when Obama was deporting people.
Of course not.
And then he gave the wrong URL.
That was so funny. Dude, I'm going to pull a video up.
You know what was driving me crazy, too, was why does everybody have to tell us about their grandma and their niece and their neighbor? Stop it. That was Reagan started. Wasn't Reagan the one that really started that?
I think so. Wasn't it State of the Union address where they'd bring
He'd always bring somebody in.
Ronald Reagan!
You know, the guy that leaped into the river and saved somebody was Lenny Skutnik, I think was his name, after the plane crash.
We have never been unable to overcome whatever the problem was. If you agree with me, go to Joe 30330 and help me in this fight. Thank you very much.
Why does he want to be president? Why?
Five, five, five.
Somebody told
me. I can't imagine.
Win. I don't know.
I don't know why Trump wants to be president. I don't know why Hillary Clinton wanted to be president. Why?
Because Joe's son, his deathbed.
Fake!
Was.
Yeah, well,
oh, come on.
He missed the opportunity. You should have done that last time.
President.
This Hunter's going to need another job.
Yeah,
well, that's the best reason I can think of.
Yeah, as soon as that happened, as soon as his son went, run for president.
And just as that breath's going, his brother's penis was entering his widow.
Yeah.
Hey, we all grieve differently.
Oh, boy. I got a couple numbers for that kid, though.
Did you like those two lines, the two lines that everyone's pulling out when...
Wait.
We used to say that you're drinking the Kool-Aid, you don't even know the flavor.
No one has ever said that.
Never.
And I'm not
I've
from where Cory Booker's
I don't even know
from.
What it means. You don't even know the flavor. Of course he knows the flavor. He's drinking it, he knows the flavor.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
So his taste buds are bad? Is that what he's saying?
That's how you really
the crowd
know.
Crowd reacted like, oh!
Ooh, sick burn.
I drink Kool-Aid too. That's what the audience is thinking. That really shows how out of it Biden is because he got tore a new one by Cory Booker. I mean, that's embarrassing. No, the other one, though, is it Kristen Gillibrand? Where she's like, the first thing I'll do when I get in the Oval Office is Clorox it. Which I thought, fine, that's a fine line. I'm glad everyone's getting off on it. But it's factually incorrect because Trump is a germaphobe, so it's probably pretty clean already.
She also made it of note that she is a woman of white privilege.
Oh, I see.
Oh, she's a woman?
That'll get her some votes.
Never saw that.
She's a woman. So does that injure her white privilege a little bit?
Well, she let everybody know that she understands.
Okay. Beto O'Rourke has apologized for his white privilege, by the way.
Good for him.
Multiple times.
Yeah. Beto!
The background story.
The other Trump Beto that won? Yeah.
Beto's falling fast. What the hell happened?
Even he's surprised. What the hell did happen?
I don't know. I liked him because he liked the Beatles, but man, that is not going to stick.
Did he look kind of... little bit like nervous. He was pretty jumpy.
He doesn't like big crowds.
Night one.
Which I thought, wait, he doesn't like big crowds? And he's running for president? Yeah.
He can't be president. He'll spend all his time defending the Beatles.
Well, you know what else they pointed out was that he typically, his events are all small rooms of small groups. And they thought like, oh my God, look at that. It's so cool. He'll meet with 10 people. And then it was sort of revealed that, well, he doesn't like big crowds. It's really nice.
Come on.
Is that why he jumps on tables?
Get over it. Yeah.
Yes, I don't know. He didn't
like
look
an cornered animal.
I thought the most interesting thing I saw in the two nights, and I just thought it was, I didn't know whether to laugh or what to think, but Bernie Sanders said, "I will expose the phony and the fraud that Donald Trump is." It's like
too late.
Wait, you think that nobody has an opinion on Donald Trump yet? That there's some mystery as to how Donald Trump feels about things?
Crazy Bernie.
What are you talking about?
What?
What is he talking about?
I don't know. What are we going to learn from him that we haven't heard?
I don't know.
Yeah. He's really angry, too.
The whole
Bernie
time.
Bernie does get really fired up.
He does.
Well, yeah, someone was the whole don't yell at me. Or why?
Yeah.
I don't want to be yelled at. What? I can't remember who said it.
You don't need to yell about it or
something. Oh, you don't need to yell. So that whoever said that, is that the rep from Ohio? Is that Tim Ryan?
I don't know what we're yelling about!
So Tim Ryan told Bernie, you don't have to yell. And that's like a slogan now on his website, the you don't have to yell thing.
What about the healthcare conversation? Does anyone know what the fuck anyone is talking about? It's funny because I thought that Kamala Harris made a math error too because didn't she say it'll cost $6 trillion or something? And she said $3 trillion a year, and then she said it'll take 10 years. I'm going, well, that's $30 trillion. And she said something about it'll cost $6 trillion. And then Biden came back and said it'll cost $30 trillion. And I thought, wait, Biden and me are on the same math level, apparently? I don't know if I like that.
Well, I'll use a calculator for that.
And she wouldn't let go of the fact that your plan won't cover 10 million people. That's inexcusable.
I know.
I thought 10 million people out of 380 million is pretty damn good. Can't we come up with that's one out of 38 people? Can't we come up with some smaller plan for the 10 million?
Drew, before the...
some little plan? I mean,
idea,
the 10 million...
Drew?
I don't know, just saying.
I don't
know
why...
came up with that in a second, too. Yeah.
I don't know why he just didn't come back and go, well, that's all we can afford right now. I mean, because it kind of is. Before the ACA, there were 45 uninsured people. And to get that down to the 45 million, to get that down to 10 million, it's not too bad.
Well, hers covers
45.
Everyone! And by the way, the coverage is really good. And I'm just thinking, wait. And no one would answer the question, does this cost more in taxes?
Of course it does.
You know, there's a lot of people wanting to not discuss that aspect of it.
But the coverage being really good, that I love that story.
I love that story,
too. I love
too.
That story. It's never going
to
happen.
What do you think about Yangers giving $1,000 to everybody?
Love it. It's great.
Oh, so stupid.
What is that?
Why is that stupid?
Wait, $1,000 a month. How is that paid for?
It's Social Security for all. He wants to add a VAT tax.
Okay. But
kind of like how they have in Europe.
But then you pay for it.
What do you mean?
Well, if there's a VAT tax, then someone's paying for the $1,000 a month to every person, right?
Yeah.
Rich people.
Okay, so why not just keep the money instead of the VAT tax? Instead of giving everybody $1,000, why not just keep the VAT tax?
Well, because the whole dividend.
That favors wealthy people because everybody, you know, in terms of buying stuff, everyone buys milk and groceries. And
value-added
tax. Rich people buy more, but they don't buy that much more. They don't spend all their money. Why not just tax the billionaires? Why not just make people like Amazon actually pay taxes? Wouldn't that be...
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that'd help.
And by the way, did Bill de Blasio say, I'm going to tax the hell out of rich people?
Did he say... Oh, yeah he did say
and corporations.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
No, you're not.
I don't like anyone saying they're going to tax the hell out of anyone.
Because first off, you're not going to.
Yeah.
Right.
And secondly...
No, because...
That's...
And this idea that you're going to get all this money from pharma... And we got to stop talking about this, but... This idea that you're going to get all this money from big pharma and lobbying money and you're going to put it into healthcare is like, really? Well, I guess no, and insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever thought about that before.
Wasn't that kind of
what Obama was trying to do and gave up because the lobbies are so strong and the money is so big?
We're far
beyond
that.
It's all about money. I know we're way beyond that. So stop pretending you're going to do it. When people say it, I go, you're pretending.
It's never going to happen.
No, I agree.
It's wonderful, but it's not going to happen.
When people say that we spend the most on medical of any country and
we get the least,
I don't think we get the least. But I agree. Our money is not well spent, but there's so much crap in there and there's so much profit in there. But how do you – so you're going to take it out somehow How are you going to do that?
I'm just going to take it out.
I thought we tried to do that.
Just write it off.
If Obama couldn't do it, I don't know who could.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel. I mean, it sounds like I'm giving him a lot of credit.
I hear you.
Nobody understands it.
And I know a lot of people criticized
if
him.
If Hillary couldn't do it in the early 90s.
Oh, my God.
Canada
that was such
and
a debacle.
Mexico.
Destroyed her.
I know it did.
Canada and Mexico just need to become CVSs at both ends of our country, bookend us. And we just go to there.
Now, that they
and
could
get our
do.
Drugs, man.
That they could negotiate. They could decide to negotiate drug prices, but they don't want to.
Oh, no, they don't.
Because of lobbies.
Oh, hell no.
That's actually pretty
easy. Because they spend money. That lobbying money is very well spent.
That would be the easiest first place to start because every other country
negotiates.
Isn't it
amazing the people that do lobby? Like, I had no idea NXIVM lobbied.
Yeah.
NXIVM spent money on lobbying. I'm sure Scientology does, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because they got, you know, the Church of Scientology has a tax exemption.
How can they lobby, though? If you're a church, aren't you supposed to be non-political?
Well, they weren't a church then. Oh. They weren't getting...
Dweller H.
I mean, they were in court for 13 years fighting that. And, of course, hiring PIs to go after all the accountants and all the government people and the IRS people. And, you know, that's our legal system now.
Do other religions have lobbying groups?
I'm sure the
probably,
Catholic,
I would
Catholic
think
Church
so.
Probably does. Sure. Christian,
I mean, I don't
Baptist
know.
Churches.
But you know, Scientology, the last time I watched, I think it was Leah's show, they were talking about issuing, I think they were warrants for people in the Church of Scientology regarding some event in Clearwater, and they couldn't get a cop to deliver the warrant because he didn't want to be named as the cop who delivered the warrant.
Yeah.
I mean, how fucked up is that? Because he knew, as soon as they see my name, bam!
Yeah, everything he's ever done.
So
would they
all.
Do draw straws? I mean, someone had to deliver
Somebody
it.
Somebody did deliver it, but...
Dweller H.
Probably dead.
Delivery for...
Dweller H.
Delivery to LRH?
LRH.
Where's he at? He's around here somewhere. In the astral plane.
You know...
Dweller H.
The one thing that they could do, though, with medicine, though, is, you know, insulin is, like, super expensive over the past couple of years. It's it's bumped up. I don't know, quadrupled.
Are you involved in this issue because of the cat insulin?
It is expensive.
How much is the insulin for the kitty?
What is it?
$300 a month?
What?
3 months. $300 for 3 months?
$100 a month.
So $100 a month.
Wow,
yeah.
That's one expensive.
Why don't you go to Canada and get it?
We didn't have time at the time that we
cat runs the house. Jeez.
Using it, but
the cat runs the house. Does the cat live in the master bedroom?
Yes, I've moved to the basement.
What can you do? But, medicine's not a science.
But they can make it illegal or somehow legislate against drug companies ever greening things like that because they take that medicine, do a very minute change to it, and so the patent never runs out, so they can never make it cheaper, and that's why.
Or they could just negotiate prices.
Or they could negotiate, you're right.
I always hate the argument, too, of they spend so much money in research and development. You want that to go away? And all I can think of is, really? Because every time I watch TV, it's all medical ads for drugs here and drugs here. Well, I want that to go away.
It seems like they spend a little too much money researching and developing the EpiPen, doesn't it? Just a little too much. Shouldn't we not have the EpiPen?
How about no more ads for them? Take that money from the ads and use that for research.
Yeah.
Well, they do spend money.
Or just less.
Ooh, nice. So what's going on this weekend? I haven't even looked.
What? This week?
Did anybody check what's on this weekend? What's going on this weekend?
It's August.
August.
What? It was my contribution. It's August.
We're 30 days from football season, by the way.
I know. We're 10 days from the soccer game at the Big House. You pumped?
There's a soccer game at the Big House?
Dick.
I did not know that.
Yes, you did.
I did not.
Liar.
Nobody cares.
Oh.
While you're checking the weekend activity, I seriously don't know what's going on this weekend.
The St. Rafka is a church festival. I'm going to be appearing there. On
the what?
Saturday and Sunday.
Is this a wheels plug?
This is.
That's something you couldn't say no to.
Yes.
We should make a list of the things Trudy wishes she said no to. I think you could come up with a very good list.
Oh, they're cool.
Just off the top of your head,
they're awesome. In Livonia and I'm going there to introduce 50th Views. So I need to plug that.
Where's this gig?
Livonia.
It's where in Livonia?
Church.
You're doing church gigs now? Is this your church?
Sure, you're for hired.
No, not at all.
This is a paid gig.
It's a paid gig.
You're taking money out of a church?
I am.
Dweller H.
They offered money. I said yes. I couldn't say no.
You didn't turn it
money.
Down or say, you know, I can't take money from a church. Did that cross your mind?
No, because Dee talked me into it. She talked me into all kinds of things. I'm pretty malleable when it comes to that. Yeah.
Okay, that's understandable.
Brian Ferry's this weekend.
At the Fox or the State?
Yeah, I don't know, one of those two. Gary Clark's at Meadowbrook.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Nice.
Wait, Brian Ferry is at the Fillmore, I believe. Maybe it is the Fox. I remember seeing that sign going, oh, my God, that'd be so great to see. And here I am.
Oh, Ben Cage, the Elephant, on Saturday.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can get you
tickets for that.
Can you? I can. I like them, but I feel like a lot of songs just have a cliche in them somewhere. Like this, like they use a cliche in their lyrics.
To turntables and a microphone, or
Wish I had better examples of that. I'm gonna find some.
I had a couple people call
big
in
hits?
For tickets.
Ain't no rest for the wicked. That's kind of a cliche saying.
And they thought that it was Jeff Beck.
Oh.
Like, no, it's Beck. Just Beck. Playing Beck.
Wait, playing Beck ain't bad.
Oh, Beck's good. Beck. Yeah.
He's in town, Beck.
Yeah, Saturday.
Oh, is it DTE?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Oh, see that?
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway.
We've got sold out. Does Beck sell out venues like that? He probably does.
He just opened for U2 at Ford Field.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, you know who else is playing with Beck and Cage the Elephant? Spoon. Isn't that band? Oh, maybe not. Never mind. I thought that was the band that you really liked one song of theirs and you showed me. The Crazy Flags, like at some festival. Am I thinking of a totally different band?
Spoon,
yeah,
Spoon!
You don't know what I'm talking about?
You know, I was foggy. Was this like in the distant past or not so recent future?
Like
not so recent past?
It was definitely here in this room.
It was maybe a week or two ago, wasn't it?
I don't know about that. That was a really unprepared show today.
It's pretty loose here. I was going to mention, although it's not a sports podcast, that we should probably have had Eli on. Bob Page was in the house today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The pager.
I had no idea.
I didn't either.
I was trying to reach him by Skype, and then he walked in.
It was here, for a high school reunion or something.
Oh,
but
really?
Anyway,
he's mad at Brandon. He wanted him to move this microphone.
Yeah. It can't
what?
Well, that's bolted down.
Wanted him to move it where?
So he uses this mic that I'm on.
I wish I was like Bob Page and that Bob Page will ask for anything. I wish I was like that.
Because
you never know what you're going to get if you don't ask for it.
He demands.
Yeah. Well, I wish I was like Bob Page in that respect.
Because Mazzaway will ask for anything. Bob demands it. There's a difference.
But Tom Mazzaway is not credible when he asks for most things. And you know there's always a quid pro quo. You know,
he always asks for too much.
And if you accept anything from him, you know there's a quid pro quo. I really am done accepting things from him.
Damn it. I like it when he makes people accept things.
I know.
Like, hey,
he's really pushy about it.
I gave you that thing. It's like, you didn't give me that thing. You left it at my
house. I'll fuck you up. Remember when was he cleaning out his office or something?
Yes.
Or changing offices? And you're like, hey, look at this. You want this? And like, no, I don't want that. But I'm going to throw it away.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, throw it away. I'm trying to remember what he was trying to get us to take,
though. Take it to entrap you.
He was cleaning out his basement.
I remember his basement.
Yeah. That's right. He brought all that shit to work.
It was all garbage.
He had like 15 hats that he was trying to give away, and most of them were used. I mean, who wants to borrow somebody else's used?
And there was nothing special
hat.
About him.
He was ridiculous. Being a bunch of old newspapers too.
Oh,
he's like, oh, look at this. I said, yeah, you can see that online. I love anything that's old.
But I'm going to throw it away. I couldn't figure out why he's throwing it away. If he thought it was so valuable that you couldn't not take it, why would he throw it away?
It's just one of the mysteries.
It is a mystery.
Of that man.
So Brandon, I was going to ask you about the No Filter Sports show.
Yes.
Which will be, is it available yet? Or are you still waiting to post because we start early?
If it's not, well, yeah, it'll be, by the time anybody hears this, it's available, definitely.
Cool.
And today was big because of the MLB trade deadline. Big stuff.
Okay, the Tigers traded Castellanos and Shane Green, two of the three or four best assets they have.
Oh.
And I just wondered, how did the No Filter guys feel about the take, what they received? Because they got four prospects.
They did receive four prospects. Now,
nobody understands it.
I kind of have a different view of what these guys did. They do believe that you know, the pitcher Joey Wentz and the other pitchers, Paul Reichen and Alex Lang.
Who?
I know, but nobody they're prospects. They're prospects.
One of them was a first-round draft pick who's like 3-9 with a 5.8 ERA.
Well, to that point,
well,
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, wouldn't you expect him to get more hitters? Because they got
exactly where I was.
Hey, all right, well, carry
they
on
did
then.
Get one hitter
who's going to be in
who's
the
got 20 bombs in AAA.
Yeah, Travis DeMeritt. He's got a lot of power, and they're going to bring him up right away. So we're going to see him probably by tomorrow. It's going to be, you know, nice to see that they got a bat there, but we already have really, really good pitching in the minors.
Yep.
We got Bo Burrows. We got Manning. We have Casey Mize. Those are the future pitchers. Well, I don't know why we got to stack starters. I would have liked to see more bats, personally.
Well, this guy, by the way, in the minor leagues is hitting .240
His
minor league career. He's hitting .286 this year.
He's having a great
year. His career average in the minors, and he's been in the minors for a few years, is .244, I believe.
Be something. I mean, they really, really wanted
he
him.
He strikes out a lot.
Because I will do it. I will suck your dick. I will suck your fucking dick. I will do it. Just join my team. I'll suck your dick. You can fuck me or get fucked by me. You can watch me fuck something. Just point something in the room and I'll fuck it for you. Come on, just tell me what you want me to fuck. Just tell me what you want me to fuck.
Not a very good negotiator.
That's actual audio before the trade deadline.
Alavila, huh?
So this DeMeritt, who, by the way, I'm going to predict a Jameer Candelario type of performance out of him with some power and very low batting average. That's just my early prediction.
There's no
basis for it whatsoever other than his minor league
stats. Future looks fantastic on the pitching front, but I don't know what they're going to do
about fantastic.
I think it does. I think Casey Mize is like the second best prospect in all of baseball. Manning looks great. Burrows looks great. Fado looks great.
Big difference between Erie and Detroit as the Randy Smith Tigers found out.
So negative.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I think so. I do think a couple of them will turn out to be good, but you just can't count on everyone.
No.
Some of them will not be up to it. Some of them will get hurt. And I think Casey Mize seems like the real thing. I mean, I don't know how anybody can say Casey Mize shouldn't be a good major league player.
Speaking of
Manning's been good too.
Of sports and analyzing things and breaking it down. See, Juice had a new video.
No, I did not know that.
This time he was
two in a row.
He was I'm breaking down my favorite TV show, The Politics.
What?
He was watching The Politics.
What's The Politics?
Debate last night.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Here it is.
Debate. This should have led the show.
Is it my imagination that Yang and Gabbard are the only two who know how to follow the rules?
Ooh, he wants to kill
of
her.
This debate.
Oh, there's OJ's TV. Oh, yeah, nice place, by the way.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. You know, if there's one thing OJ loves, it's following rules.
It's the rules.
What is he talking about?
Oh, my God.
So he's mad at everybody else for not following the rules.
Yeah, but he's got his eye on Gabbert.
Next thing you know, someone's up there slicing throats.
I don't want to go back to this for real, but can anyone in 20 seconds answer how the value-added tax works that pays for the $1,000 a month for all Americans? That just seemed
you want Yang
so
to explain
crazy
it?
Throughout that. Yeah, okay.
You'd think you would have rehearsed it, though, knowing that that's what you were up against. It's like that 11 seconds in the elevator exercise.
Yeah.
Like explain yourself in the elevator ride or whatever they call that in the sales department. When they make you explain yourself in the length of time.
I didn't spend enough time around sales. I wasn't aware of that.
I just heard somebody was struggling.
Value-added tax is going to be levied on tech companies, for what it's worth.
Huh. So the tech companies have enough money left over to pay for $1,000 a month for every American?
So Amazon can pay their fair share. I mean, he's really hitting all the feeling points.
You want to hear it out of his mouth? I don't know.
How long is this?
I don't know. Is he going to bore me to death?
I'm not sure. It's not going to happen, so I don't care. I just not care. I just wondered, because it was such a wild thing to suggest. But if somebody else is paying, who cares?
Okay, here it is. What we have to do, we have to join every other advanced economy and have a value-added tax. Because, yeah, Europe has them. That would fall on the Amazon.
Well, the Netherlands did $500 a month to people.
For like a week.
Cool. No, they did it for 6 months.
Oh, that'd be so
not
nice.
Enough time.
I'd dig that.
Because our economy now is so vast at $20 trillion, up $5 trillion the last 12 years, a value-added tax at even half the European level would generate $800 billion in new revenue.
That's going to go fast with $1,000 a person, though.
I don't even know why you'd run for president if you're going to say what we can't do, Drew.
Hey, I'll take it. Is it going to cost me anything? How much money is it going to cost me to get
that
$1,000 a
month? Stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so, okay, I'm for it. I'm for it.
Yeah, really?
I'll be for it. I'll be one of those people who just goes, oh, it's money for me. Who cares where it comes from?
Yeah.
Why not?
But he wants
Why shouldn't
to go,
I be that way?
He wants to go after these big tech companies. You know, Netflix didn't pay any taxes last year either.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Facebook,
well,
Google.
You know, I'm so tired of hearing this because, you know, oh, they took a big write-off last year. I don't care what they took. Why isn't there some minimum tax they pay no matter what?
Like, yeah.
No matter what.
Well, individuals have that. Alternative minimum tax.
So why don't the, I don't know, whatever. Talk
about it. Are you joining the Yang Gang yet?
Yeah, I think I might be in the Yang Gang.
All right.
Might be in. Okay, he's my guy right now. It's going to change a lot.
I'm very fascinated by the guy, actually. I think it's...
Wow, I have an extra $250 in my paycheck.
He's got some outside-of-the-box thinking that's
well, there he is.
Kind of refreshing.
He's on CNN. All over the place. People like it.
There's plenty of songs online for the Yang Gang.
Detroit had a felon who was arrested today. He has had seven women buying him guns in their name. And then I guess the idea was that he was going to resell them. They just pick them up at Dunham's. And, of course, they lied about it, too. So I don't know how big a deal that is. But, I mean, this is the kind of thing. This has, to drive,
felon, right?
This has to drive gun enthusiasts crazy when shit like this goes on. Yeah, he's a felon.
Raimondo, he's got great face tattoos, too.
Does he? What's? Oh, let me see.
What's it say above his eye?
I think it says Spitty.
Oh, okay. Spitty scent.
Yeah, and then he's got a nice cross. There's a couple teardrops.
Oh, come on, Raimondo, go big or go home, dude.
There's one on his temple that I can't make out. But, God, face tattoos are awesome,
you know,
dude.
That reminds me, you know the five teenagers, and one of them dropped a rock on a car and it killed a 32-year-old guy?
Yeah.
And there was a lot of talk about that, and they're supposed to be, they were tried as adults, weren't they?
They're going to be, yes.
Yeah, and... The one that dropped the rock, naturally, you know, they figured out who that was. And the other four, did they plea already or something?
I think they pled guilty.
Yeah. Anyway, the interesting thing about that was, you know, I saw that story and my initial thought was, oh, dumb 16-year-old kids, you know, doing something really, really stupid.
Yeah.
And they got to be punished somehow. But then as I learn more about it, you find out that they thought this was funny, and they weren't bothered by it.
They were texting each other.
They were talking about getting teardrop tattoos because they killed a guy.
Yeah.
God.
What the fuck?
Wow.
I don't know if that was their way of just trying to be funny and kind of relieve the stress of the situation.
No, they weren't. No one sounded upset. It sounded like they weren't. It was almost like it was cool. I don't know. That really surprised me.
It was a young guy that died, too.
Yeah.
32 years old.
Now they can get their tattoos. They're cool. They should make them all get the tattoos.
They should. That should be part of their sentence.
Well, you guys wanted them.
No, why don't they have... let's see. What could they tattoo on them? You know, I think tattoos should be part of a sentence. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Like,
Well, you wanted them to glow.
Like a penis on their forehead tattoo.
Yeah, something like that. That's a great idea. I mean, that's an option.
Uh-huh. We could use What's-His-Name as the model.
Oh, yeah, our buddy.
Who's the guy that we brought in? And
oh, Milton Romanowski.
Milton's tat is pretty gone now.
Yeah.
Maybe he found someone else to pay for his tattoo removal.
He's been going through some rough times, remember?
Emily's best friend.
What's going on with Milton?
I don't know. Jim, every once in a while, will send me, because he's Facebook friends with him, send me screen pictures of the, you know, the tough times Milton's going through. Just having a tough time.
Aww.
Well, his dad was such a great guy. I'm really surprised.
Both his parents, right?
Hey, did you see the article in the Free Press about seven signs you might be a hoarder?
Oh, is that because...
Oh, no.
Did you see the big story that the Free Press dropped about the lady whose dogs ate her?
Dogs ate her?
You didn't see that?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Well, they probably didn't have anything to eat.
Sally. Sally, honey.
Too. Well, yeah. I mean, you don't want the dogs to die, too. Yeah, she was 80...
You know Mags would eat you.
Oh, God. Yeah. You'd eat your penis first, by the way.
He doesn't have anything to eat, and nobody comes. What's he supposed to do?
She's partially eaten by her dog.
If we're in a plane crash, we might have to eat each other.
First thing you'd eat would be your penis. And then he wouldn't be full.
How's he going to get to that?
And he'll say, I wanted a meal, not a snack.
Oh, boy.
Wow. So stupid.
How's Mags going to unzip things, though? He's...
Yeah, I'm not too worried at the moment.
When you were in Chicago and I was watching the dogs, and I got sick so I couldn't come over here a few times,
yeah.
I was talking to Zeus because Zeus was here for LaDuff, And I asked him if he'd let the dogs in. He goes, Megs can actually go up the stairs pretty well. I said, yeah, if you make them.
The left side. Always the left side.
You were just amazed that, oh, wow, that dog actually can go up and down stairs.
Yeah.
Does pretty well.
When he knows no one's looking, he's been taking... speeds up those stairs,
yeah, he
too.
Does. He gets
no
fired
need to
up.
Carry him.
I got one question for all of you. Who let the dogs out?
Now, after a walk, he has to kind of do a few circles before he gets psyched up to do the stairs.
Yeah. Amp himself up.
Yeah.
I can do this. I can do
this. I like the stairs. They're fun.
There was a, let's see, millennial story.
Oh, boy.
Sweet.
Yeah. All right, Brandon.
Were they ruined
You are the now? Millennials' darling, by the way. They really appreciate you. Millennials
silly.
But he's not
say dating.
Act like a millennial.
Way too expensive. 30% can't even afford love. Did we talk about this in the podcast?
No. This was right before the show yesterday, I think.
The 29-year-old government worker quoted said he was shelling out hundreds of dollars each month on dates, and it was completely worthless investment.
Oh, because he wasn't getting any?
I guess not. When you meet someone nice, you want to take that person somewhere nice. Yeah, well, that's why you want to have a job that makes money so you can do those things. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's somehow this idea that because you're 30, you just should have money because you want certain things. It's sort of like, I need $15 an hour. I'm raising a family. So I should give you a raise because you have three kids.
You need a raise.
No, you should make $15 because you deserve $15, not because you have expenses that cost you to need.
Yeah. You know. You do it, you will have Yang's $1,000 to spend.
That's true.
Sweet.
When you meet someone nice, you want to take that person somewhere nice. But what's the point of taking them to this nice place just to find out you guys are better just as friends? So you're wasting money. Well, make her pay. Split it.
But wait a second. Isn't that used to be the thrill of it, the excitement of it?
Fake news.
I mean, you need to have some bad dates. You don't know the good if you don't have the bad. Don't you need to have some
bad dates?
Well,
maybe they find out that he's spending all their money on them and he doesn't have any left. So he doesn't have any future. He added that predating rituals like grabbing coffee or ice cream can make potential suitors think you're being cheap and you're really just trying to see if it's all worth it. I don't know. He's got.
Is this insinuating that millennial chicks just want, like, expensive dates?
Yeah, it is.
Kind of with all the millennial guys complaining about paying back college loans and being broke, I mean, millennial chicks, I think, would be looking for somebody
really
who's going to do more than that.
I'm really confused because I thought you guys
millennial chicks can't pay back student loans, too. So.
You guys love experiences.
But experiences cost money.
Well,
shouldn't dating be an experience?
Yeah.
30% of the connected generation feel as though their financial stability is having an effect on their readiness to find a true relationship, according to Match's latest Singles in America survey.
Like there's never been a loser, Gen Xer. There's never been a low.
Oh, we're all losers.
No, not at all. I'm picking up, though, there's a lot of millennials who take so much shit seem to be taking it out on Gen Z.
Well, the story's pretty soon. We're only maybe a year or two away from this. Pretty soon, all the headlines are going to shift from millennials are doing this, millennials are killing that, to
Gen Z rebuilding it.
Gen Z is killing this, and Gen Z is doing that. It's only a matter of time.
Well, Gen Z, I didn't really pick up on it. I sort of did, but apparently Gen Z, they think millennials are kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Because they grew up with tech. Yeah. Apparently all intelligence is measured by tech, just like all value is measured by bench press amount to some people. I mean, isn't that funny how people, how much can he bench? You know, I forgot what show it was, but some big behemoth was like, what's she like about him? He can't bench anything. I mean, she really thought
just this last Friday at 2:23 p.m., I was benching. And I put up 350 pounds.
So apparently this ability to easily perform tech tasks.
Yeah, but give it 20 years and then the next generation.
Well, of course.
Will
duh.
In their face because there's always new tech.
So I can only imagine what losers Gen Z people
right.
think boomers are. But, you know, boomers did read.
Yeah.
Boomers do know some things because they read books.
Yeah.
Some boomers, not all boomers.
Boomers can write.
Hell, I think millennials are the best because we had to read books, and then we were introduced to the brand new technology. We grew up with it. I could out Windows 95 any Gen Zer out there. Straight up.
Experts say millennials are holding off on dating because the concept of courtship has evolved over time. What once was a casual meet and greet for a first date has turned into a delayed and very deliberate event that happens much later in the relationship cycle. Oh, because they're so busy on these dating sites and stuff?
Yeah, meeting them online and talking to them first.
Wouldn't you meet and just screw? Because you've...
Yeah. Well, a lot of them do, so I've heard.
You know, it sounds like they don't.
What?
I mean, I don't know, but...
Nice.
I'm sure some do.
Honestly, this is what I think. I think the younger generations that are using these Tinders and Bumbles, they're actually kind of going at it, and most of them are looking for a relationship with it. The older crowd, the ones that are, you know, in their maybe late 30s, in the 40s and 50s, those people that are using Tinder, they're using it just to bang.
Yeah, Gen X.
I would think the 20-year-olds would be doing that.
I don't think as much.
I don't know. Maybe they're scared of disease.
Yeah.
Millennials are very ambitious. They're terrified of catching feelings and getting a relationship they can't financially or mentally manage.
This is a generation that is willing to pay dues.
And he had age.
Two-thirds of people in their 20s live at home, not because they're lazy, because they're saving their money, and they really feel they need to get their career and finances in order before they marry. Match also found 22% of singles see a potential partner's financial background has held them back from pursuing a relationship with them, and nearly a third of singles say their own financial situation has held them back from pursuing love in the first place. Well, what happened to just getting a relationship and then just getting her pregnant and then just, oh,
oops,
here we go.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't that happen?
You mean organically?
Well, I do feel like it happened an awful lot.
It does seem like the narrative of millennials is they like to plan everything out.
Back then, they didn't have these fancy birth control methods, like pulling out.
This generation communicates in symbols, oftentimes, or the rest of us use words.
LOL, LMAO, ha ha.
Do you know who that is, by the way, saying that?
Is that the dad?
No.
Who is that?
The LOL part?
Isn't it the kids with the rocks?
It's the judge in the kids with the rocks case. He's quoting what they texted to each other.
LOL, LMAO,
yeah.
Ha ha.
There was a lot of LOL hard to figure. Let's see. Generation Z appears to be redefining the dating atmosphere for themselves. We see Gen Zers approach dates equally, not based on traditional gender norms, by expecting to pay the bill down the middle, starting with the first date. Oh, well, finally equality.
Those dates must be really short.
On average, how long is Gen Z's attention span? This is a very short 8 seconds.
I think that sucks for guys, because when the guys are paying, some chicks felt they had to put out. So at least you got some charity action.
The guys are going to feel like they have to put out? The girls paying? What?
No, the guys will put out any time. They don't care.
I know.
They put out halfway.
This may be small, but it goes to show a change in attitude towards certain dating customs. It forced people to overspend. Tips on saving money while dating. Budget. There's no magic number for how much your dating budget should be each month. Oh, God. Do people need this much advice?
Millennials do, apparently. They love talking about that.
Look, if we're going to have sex, that's all it is. Period.
Can't you just go for it and see what happens?
Exactly.
I know. What's the matter with people?
It's the thrill of it.
Jesus.
Okay. Millennials use PowerPoint to help friends score dates.
That's weird.
Date My Friend takes wingmanship to a whole new level by letting the best friends of potential suitors pitch their pals' attributes to a crowd at a bar via PowerPoint. Now, that won't work because girls always say their friends are hot. They always do, don't they?
Oh, yeah, she's really pretty.
Is PowerPoint
really current technology?
What's this?
PowerPoint is so awful.
Presenters have just 3 minutes to explain why their friend, who's sitting beside them, would make a great date.
Why doesn't the friend just tell us why she would make a great date?
Having a friend do it, you get to show people a different side of yourself.
Oh, it's like you're actually answering my question.
Dating in New York, there's plenty of quantity, but not a lot of quality. I think it's more what little things make up my friend Kristen that make you want to date her.
Sounds like a bitch.
There always treats around. She loves to dog sit, so you're likely to meet a furry friend if you date her.
Oh, my gosh.
Chicks don't know how to sell other chicks, do they?
No.
I don't think this will work. In true desk
fashion. You know how
fashion,
chicks sell chicks? They just go, hey, I have a single friend.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right.
Done.
Hey, man, I'll meet her. Yell, yeah.
That's how I met my wife.
See how that worked out?
I had a friend who said, I have a single friend. Would you like to meet her? And I said, yes. That's it. Then I met her. And we got married.
Wow.
Got a little lucky.
And then what?
7 years.
M-A-O. Ha ha.
Did anybody see Jed from The Bachelor on GMA today?
No.
No.
Is he okay?
What a zero. Yeah, he's okay.
Is he still explaining?
He still loves Hannah, though.
Aww.
Wow.
Aww.
He's there for the wrong reason.
He's contractually obligated to say that.
He was there for the wrong reason. I'm just wondering, is this guy, okay, he's got more attention than he ever dreamed of.
Yeah.
What's going on with his music?
Nobody cares about his music.
I don't think so either. I mean, it's not very good. I forgot how many times he tried to get his music in the show, too. Many times. He played outside her window one night.
Oh, Lord.
Played a song at the engagement. Ugh. Stupid. All right. Is there anything else we need to go over today? Anything on anybody's list?
No one's prepared. No. Juliana Huff is a lesbian now or something.
Oh, Julia. Oh, yeah. That's of interest. She's bisexual, right?
Yeah.
But she's married.
Yeah, and she said...
Now, is that weird when people who are bisexual or people who are married suddenly come and go, I'm bisexual!
Not if the woman does it.
I love lesbians!
That's actually changing the game, though.
Well, doesn't it tell every female that, hey, maybe I can take her away from him?
Yeah.
I've got
yeah.
something he doesn't have.
Doesn't it tell the dudes that, hey, my wife might bring a chick home?
Oh,
well, there's
ways.
That.
Nice.
It's, yeah. She said, this is from Women's Health, her husband... His name is Brooks. I don't know. I said, you know, I'm not straight, right? And that's how she brought it up to him. And he was like,
I'm sorry, what?
I was like, I'm not straight, but I choose to be with you. I think there's a safety with my husband now that I'm unpacking all of this.
Oh, stop saying unpacking.
There's no fear of voicing things that I've been afraid to admit or that I've had shame or guilt because of what I've been told or how I was raised. When she was raised a Mormon, right?
This guy looks like a tool, doesn't he? That's not the guy for bisexual Juliana Huff.
Oh, what?
I don't think so.
It's sort of effeminate.
Well.
A bit. Maybe he's a man and a woman in one body.
Listen to this bullshit. Paired with accepting the nuances of her sexuality, her superpowered dance has transformed sex with her husband.
What?
I was connected to the woman inside. That doesn't need anything versus the little girl that looked at him to protect me. I was like, is he going to love this version of me?
You know,
I dropped into my most authentic self, the most attracted he was to me. Wait, authentic? Is she in Nexium?
Yeah. Could be. When I watch Big Brother
or
some of these shows like that, and The Bachelor especially, but that's not real life. But anyway, the way these people talk about opening up all the time.
It's weird.
Okay, is that just... The way it is now that all 20-year-olds want people to open up. Because, and even when they talk to people's parents, like, well, you know, I love her so much. And like, I can't imagine talking to someone's parents and going, I love her so much. Is that what everyone does now when they're 25?
That's a great question.
Do people, I don't know. I'm asking.
I have no idea.
Because it seems so weird to me. It's like, oh, my God. First of all, on a lot of these shows, you never see the people joking around and laughing.
It's like,
do they ever talk about anything besides how much they love each other or what's, you know, how many walls haven't come down or
I wish they
walls
were
are up?
Yeah, I wish they were more vulnerable.
Yeah, well, and by the way, why do people like people who are vulnerable? I kind of like strong people myself.
Yeah, I do too. I really do.
Because you want them to open up.
But when you're,
but
you know
I don't
what?
Want them to open up.
I want them to be honest with themselves and you.
But the sensitive people who want everybody to open up vilify the people who are strong. That's the hardest part. You get shit for being strong.
I know.
That's not cool.
But it's opening up. I don't know. I'm not sure I want people to open up that much.
Because
I might not like what they say.
We don't need that baggage.
Can't we just keep it on the surface and everything's cool and chill?
Yeah.
Is there something to being chill?
Definitely. Be cool.
You don't want people's opinions about everything.
No. God, no. You want to clutter your head with other people's stuff.
Well, yeah, because then they're going to want something.
Or they just have too much stuff. It's like, there's too many things to worry about. Oh, my God.
They'll open up and they'll want something. And they'll say, I opened up to you. Yeah, I didn't want you to, but what do I have to do now?
But honestly, if you pay attention to this stuff, it seems like every young female wants nothing more then the deepest, darkest things, you know, you haven't talked about your parents' divorce at all. I don't know anything about it.
Jeez.
Oh, my God. This one is so sensitive.
This one guy on...
That's so they can put you in a sort of like a category.
A box. So they can there judge further future behavior by that and maybe explain it. Uh-huh. There was this scene on... I haven't seen this show in a while, but Married at First Sight, which is quite funny. Because they have these matchmakers, and so, but they don't let them see each other, or else it wouldn't be a TV show. So they meet when they get married.
Ugh.
And then they follow...
We're getting hitched.
So then they follow them for, you know, 2 months after, and then they decide if they're annulling it or going forward. So this guy meets this girl who's pretty. She's kind of hot, actually. She's a redhead. And... I forgot what she told him the day of the wedding. She had some job, some very specific job. So then they meet the parents of the two people are there. And the guy is like, it's a really big deal because he doesn't even talk to his parents since they divorced. He's like 35 years old. It's like,
he's
so upset about his parents' divorce. He's like, oh my God.
How long ago was it?
Dude, they probably.
They divorced when he's 34?
I think they divorced. Yeah, something like that.
Oh, okay.
So he's he's freaked out. Well, they can't come to the wedding because he's so upset. I mean, it was just. I thought
maybe he should open up to them and talk about it.
Yes, he should open up. Exactly. So then when the parents come, he says something about somehow her job comes up, and it turns out it's for her father, and it's undefined. She doesn't know what she's doing. She's like, I don't know. Aren't I going to work in marketing? And he's like, I thought you said you did this job or this was your job. And it turns out there is no job. She just asked her father to make a job for her, which he then was going to do because her father, well, it's kind of a goofy story. But then they're having a conversation later, and she says, you didn't tell me anything about your parents divorced. And you can see this guy's face gets all red. I mean, he's like, oh. And then he goes, what about your job? What is your job?
Nice comeback.
You told me you had a job. I mean, he just starts attacking her. It's like, oh my God.
Nice comeback.
And these people were
destroying my name.
These people were screwing like rabbits and having a great time, but all of a sudden the walls come down and oh my God, it's a disaster.
Oh, somebody yeah, wrecks things. Totally it wrecks things.
I don't know what happened in this divorce. Oh my God. So
why don't you just file for divorce?
All right, did we miss anything besides Juliana Huff's bisexuality? That's it. All right, get us out of here, Brandon. If you want to rate us on iTunes, we'd appreciate it. I am reading the same ratings on Facebook. Is everybody off? Is Facebook over? Is that possible?
You mean in general, is it over?
Yeah.
It can't be over. We need their money for Yang's $1,000.
Oh, that's right. I mean, Brandon, is Facebook over?
I think it's on the decline. I see a lot of these young kids, they're not interested in it.
Yeah, I don't know why they would be.
They're into TikTok, they're into Snapchat.
Why does something always have to replace the thing? Is there something better about
it? Well, because a 15-year-old kid looks at Facebook and sees their mom and grandma on it and says, oh, hell no. Yeah. I'm serious.
Well, I just, you know, when I go on Facebook, which I need to stop doing because these things come up like David Bowie sucks, you know, and I get sucked into it.
Oh my God, this one is so sensitive.
Or I see all my, you know, friends are here and there and everywhere, and sort of, it becomes a little overwhelming after a while.
Yeah.
But I do see a lot of people still on there. They're just, you know, it's not the 35 and unders. It's more.
Yeah.
But honestly, when people went from Instagram, because didn't Instagram follow Facebook first?
Instagram was afterwards, yeah.
Right.
And then Facebook
followed. And then I was like, well, Instagram is pictures. Why can't Facebook be pictures?
Yeah, and Twitter's pictures and Snapchat.
Why? I don't understand why one couldn't be the other.
Especially when Facebook owns them.
Yeah. I mean, is there a reason?
I don't
just
know.
So Facebook can make more money?
I don't know. I don't get it either.
Okay.
Well, I'm on neither of them.
If anybody's still on Facebook, like us on Facebook and rate us on Facebook just because it's nice. And do it on iTunes because it helps. And rate us anywhere you see us, like Stitcher or any of these places you go that you can rate us. Please do it. And have a great weekend.
Dweller H.
L-O-L-L-M-A-O. Ha ha.
LOL. LOL. How fucking. Are we really as happy as a country? Are people really laughing out loud as often as they say that? Because that would be one fucking psychotic nation if we're like, oh, hey, just having lunch. Ha 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 ha. If I see you first.
It's the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah, 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 yeah.